Everybody, and welcome to Weekly Manga Recap, special Q&A edition here on August 11th, 2015. I'm Ira Lirotime, here with Rolo T.
Nick, I'm bored as fuck.
You're bored?
I'm very bored. You know that that trial I was telling you about? I had, like, a legal thing I had to do?
Yes, I do remember. All right, it.
Today was the day I was to testify. And I was like, oh my god, I'm going to have some fucking amazing legal-themed anecdote to share with everybody. So, they call me in to testify at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And I get there at 2. Maybe a little couple minutes afterwards. And they're like, okay, well, it took them a little bit longer to, like, do their testimony. So we haven't finished our cross-examination, so just wait over in that room. Okay. And I was there for 2.5 hours, and they're like, well, great, the session's over for today, you'll have to come back another day. And I'm like, oh, you fucks. So I literally just sat in a room for 2.5 hours, just like, trying to make small talk with somebody. And it's, like, it's hard to express, Nick. I'm really bad at small talk. Like, I'm almost, like, famously bad at it. Like, we had that day where we did superpowers, like, we gave ourselves all superpowers. I forget what I had. I think it was, like, teleportation and fucking, like, super speed. Like, it was just overly convenient needs of transportation.
Yeah, I do remember that.
If I was that man again, my weakness would be small talk. Like, that's like my Green Lantern can't affect things that are yellow bullshit thing. Like, that's just like, oh, well, you could defeat him with small talk. I'm horrible at it. So it was 2.5 hours of trying to manage that. I know it's like, I sit here and I say it, I'm like, wow, that is, like, biggest white tears fucking bullshit. Like, I had to sit in the room and get paid for 2.5 hours today, man. But it was just like, oh, holy shit.
That's like if someone's like robbing a bank, and so you come zipping in, you're beating up all the burglars and stuff at top speed, and they're like, oh no, it's Rolo Man or some shit, and then someone's like, it's okay guys, I got this. So nice weather we're having, huh? You trip over your own feet.
Yeah, I just... I immediately face plant into a fucking shard of glass. Like, oh, why? Oh, this is bad than trying to maintain this bullshit conversation.
It's so vapid and silly.
You don't care how the weather is or how my weekend was.
So what's your name?
Yeah, that's every little thing.
Stop, please, no, you're heartless and cruel.
I'm like, Lex Luthor wasn't even this evil. And he just made a fucking chastity belt out of kryptonite for Superman. I don't know why, it's weird and confusing, but he's a real fuck, but you're worse.
The only way you can actually escape from your weakness is if you actually find common ground for a conversation you're both interested in, but that never happens.
Yeah, I never find that with strangers. Just scream and cry a lot, and eventually they stop talking. Which I find is the best scenario.
Okay. So anyway, we're here to answer your questions.
Yeah, we did. We used to do this. This was like a thing we did all the time. And then Weekly Manga Recap got to be like 3 hours long. And we're like, ooh.
Don't really have time at the end of the episode anymore. So now with the Patreon, one of the rewards that we promised after reaching a certain milestone was to do regular Q&A only episodes of the podcast, which we will be doing on a monthly basis.
Yeah.
In addition to a special bonus monthly episode we're also doing.
But, and also be clear, this isn't replacing a Weekly Manga Recap episode for this week. We still have our regular episode. We're recording this on Tuesday, and then Wednesday we do our regular recording, so we'll still be doing regular Weekly Manga Recap tomorrow. This is just a monthly special extra podcast, you consider, that everybody gets to enjoy.
Although, we are still trying to figure out what the fuck we're going to do next week.
So. Yeah, next week's an odd scenario, just because, and I completely forgot the fact that this happens is what's Obon Festival next week, so there's no jump. So we'll have to figure out something.
We'll figure something out.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's start answering questions then. We're going way back into the well for some of these.
Yeah, we it's been a while for some of these questions.
Some of you have been waiting with bated breath, and we're sorry, because you're probably dead if you've been holding your breath that long. So yeah, should we just kick this off?
Yeah, let's jump into it. Did you want to?
I have an email open. I guess we could alternate reading them.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Our first question is from Christopher Chow, who says, "Dear Chris and Nick, I've been watching your show every week for the past couple of years, and I just want to thank you for all the entertainment you have provided me with. I've enjoyed all the insightful criticism you provided and all the funny jokes on your show." Oh, you're giving us too much credit.
Yeah.
"Also, thanks to you, I started reading World Trigger, and I've been really enjoying it." That you can credit us with. We will take all the credit in the world for getting people to read World Trigger. That's cool.
After we spent the first 16 weeks of its existence convincing people not to.
"I would like to ask the two of you one simple question. What do you think is more ridiculous, putting Triggers in One Piece or putting Devil Fruits into World Trigger? Hypothetical scenario. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to future episodes."
More ridiculous. That was the way you phrased it?
Yes.
More ridiculous.
I personally think it would be Devil Fruits.
Because,
I mean, we have seen weird technology in One Piece. You know, with not just Caesar Clowns and Vegapunk, right?
Vegapunk, yeah.
Those two guys made some weird inventions and stuff. We've seen some bizarre advanced technology in them. And it would, you know, just be like, okay, this guy has a laser gun, or this guy has a special sword, or, you know, that type of thing. As opposed to, if you put a Devil Fruit in World Trigger, you would start to have basically people with Black Trigger abilities, except weirder. The strangest thing I think that we've seen in all of World Trigger so far was probably Enidora's whole, my core is hidden in this weird black mass, and, you know, when I'm cut up, it just gives me more options to attack people with, and so on and so forth. That's actually also probably the closest thing we've gotten to a Devil Fruit-like ability. But, I mean, you know, if you get, you know, a guy who literally is made of fire, or a guy who is made of rubber, or a guy who can transform between various forms of, you know,
a giraffe. Range,
yeah, or reindeer, human hybrid, and all that stuff, that gets way crazier because...
Well, that requires the Rumble Ball, Nick, and that's not going with them, so he only has the two forms.
Okay. Thank you, Chris, for keeping me honest.
I want to make sure we're giving this the proper due diligence and rule following.
Only, yes.
Yeah, I'm like, no superfluous stuff. They don't get to have hockey.
So does that also mean that you can't have the objects becoming Devil Fruit users because you don't have the technology for them to consume them?
Well, we don't know how that happens, but yeah, that would also be a rule. We'd have to assume it follows a straight consuming kind of aspect.
Right. But even so...
If you ask this, like, if, you know, you took that World Trigger, like, reached up to this point, but you ignored One Piece, like, the last... 8 years of it, I think it would be a harder situation to pick. But because Frankie's reached the point now where we've introduced lasers through his powers, it's harder to say, like, oh, well, that technology would be completely impossible. I still think Triggers in general would be unrealistic for One Piece outside of, like, a maybe few exclusive characters having them. But the technology level of One Piece has kind of fluctuated for being this, like, oh, no, it's like a very, you know, 1500s fucking... Britain kind of like technology level to being like, we'd have robots too. Right. So they would be weird. But yeah, Devil Fruit powers are just such a mixed bag that it would really kind of throw a whole bunch of chaos into the World Trigger universe. Because I mean, but it would pose some interesting strategies. So you're like, okay, well, we can't snipe this guy because he turns to sand every time we do it. So we need to get a bullet and fill it with water and shoot him with that first.
I'll get the Super Soaker.
Like, and there you go. That's something for Chitara to do now. Or not Chitara.
What's, Chitara?
It makes like three characters. Chica.
Okay, now, what would be stranger? Having Thundercats in World Trigger or Triggers in Thundercats?
Well, like, the Thundercat characters show up in World Trigger? I mean, I feel like that would be pretty crazy. They're from, like, an entirely, like, are they the cartoons, or do they have...
There's another dimension, and it's ruled by Mum-Ra, the ever-living.
Oh, now this is actually pretty sweet. All right, we're adding mummies into it now. Yeah, no, I think it would be Devil Fruits in One Piece. It's pretty great.
Okay. Next question.
All right, so this one is from Arleano Reyes, which I'm sure I fucked up, but he says...
Wolfdrong.
Yes. Did you say Wolfdrawn? Oh, yeah, he does say Wolfdrawn. From Wolfdrawn. There we go. You're so smart, Nick. You read the subject
title. I read the subject header. Yay.
Hey, Nick Warruler, Time and Chris Realty. Love your work. You're witty and classical highbrown humor on Monk. I think you meant brow. But I like to think highbrow as well because we do make a lot of poop jokes.
Yeah.
I have a question that relates to Urza Scarlet, who I hate with a burning passion. To me, she is nothing more than a Mary Sue, completely overpowered with no growth to justify it. But one thing that bothers me is that she might be crazy. When you look at her quirks and habits, like her fetishistic clothing and her eating habits, once you learn her backstory, I tend to think she's a little more than a traumatized girl with no clue how to act normal. As Hero mentions in Volume 10, he wanted to make Urza's adult flight nothing more than a dream or an illusion of child Urza, but this was cut. My question is, what is your thought on this statement and Urza's overall mental state? P.S. Love Apocalypse Dragon. So this last line has me a little confused of... Hero had mentioned in Volume 10 he wanted to make Urza's adult life nothing more than a dream or illusion of child Urza. What was that meant to convey? That, like, fairy tale up until that point hadn't existed? Urza was still a prisoner inside the cell and...
Or she is like an illusion throughout her entire history with.
So there was no like what. Now I have to imply that everyone else in Fairy Tale wasn't real, or that they've been dealing with a magical conjured illusion of Urza. That doesn't exist. It's such a weird statement. I don't comprehend how Hero thought that would even, like, even considered it.
Let's see.
I mean, this is probably one of his extra material sort of things, so I don't know. I've never caught that quite yet.
I'm not finding anything on it yet, so I wonder about this. And then, honestly, that thing about stuff being an illusion, it actually sounds similar to the backstory with Wendy, you know, where her village was an illusion and stuff. I'm not sure if maybe the suggestion is that Urza, as we know her, is just like a fantasized future that child Urza came up with, where she'd have all sorts of friends and she would just have access to whatever power she wanted and so on and so forth. And she also has kind of sociopathic tendencies because she's actually a little kid and doesn't know how to act like an adult. That might be interesting, but it's clear that we are far beyond that point. Although maybe that would explain why, you know, Urza, as we know her, is kind of dumb, you know, and seems incomplete and pointless as a character, is because the original idea for her was cut. That could be an explanation. I don't know.
It's possible. I don't know. Like, I could see... I think it's a good way, like, if a fanfic wanted to write a rationalization for why the way she is, I think that the true answer is just Hero likes having a character who has these fun attitudes towards her. You know, she's just like most shonen protagonists, and that she's wild, she's rowdy, she likes to get into fights, she likes to eat a lot of food, but then you can put her in, you know, fucking leather bikinis and all the other silly nonsense and have her kick ass, so it's kind of like a combination of both worlds. Would you agree then, though, with the sentiment of Urza as a Mary Sue kind of character?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to make sure we're on the same page. I sometimes worry, like, my hatred of Urza is, like, alien to people. They're like, no, I don't care for her, but you're a monster. She was tortured in a tower dungeon, Chris.
Who gives a shit?
Fuck, who was the other character she was tortured? I know Gajia was in there. Wasn't there, like, another girl? I guess it was actually a whole group of them, wasn't it?
There was a group, yeah.
There was the cat girl.
Milena? Miliana?
Something like that. I know there was, like, square-faced dude. And there was, like, some big fat guy who died. And Urza didn't give a fuck after it happened. Oh, fuck. I feel like there's someone I'm forgetting, too. I feel like there's, like, an owl in it or something. God, that arc was not a good time for Fairy Tale in general. I guess I really can't say too much more about her overall mental state, though. Urza's issues run further than her being somebody who likes to fight. I don't think that's necessarily an issue. It's more of the fact that she shows no real growth as a character over, you know, what, 5-6 years of Fairy Tale?
She's been around since, like, the beginning, and Fairy Tale is 400 something chapters old, 440 chapters. So that's close to like 9 years.
Yeah.
So there you go. Urza sucks. Next, we have a Bleach question from Miranda Matsujack. I'm sorry. S-Z-C-Z. I don't know how to say that. Matsujack, I'm going to say. Dear Y Roller of Time and Roll of T, I just wanted to point out that throughout the latest arc of Bleach, Juhabach's mustache has been evolving. I don't know if anyone has pointed that out yet. If not, here's a diagram with a link to a DeviantArt. She also made sure to give credit to MDRE13 on DeviantArt, who pointed this out. Basically, this compilation image showing Juhabach's mustache growing in over the course of about 120 chapters to the point where, you know, of course it gets to its current absurdly thick status as it is now. And we have kind of commented on this in the past where, you know, his facial hair is growing in thicker because other people were also pointing it out to us. And, you know, now he's gotten the power of the Soul King, so he's got the weird blackness over his face with all the eyes poking out and stuff. So the question the brand has specifically asked about this is, do you guys think that this means anything or is plot relevant? I'm not sure.
It's definitely a factor. It's not like just a coincidence that as Kubo's gone along, he's been drawing the mustache, like the mustache and beard more pronounced because in the flashback.
Keep in mind, this is the guy that forgets about Shinsui's eye patch occasionally.
It is true, but when we did the flashback to, 400 years ago, whatever bullshit it was, with Bazby, the mustache and beard were significantly smaller. So I feel that the beard is supposed to reflect, I guess, maybe how much of his power is returned to him, or something along those lines.
That's a real man right there. His facial hair growing in thicker the more powerful he gets. Can you imagine, like, if instead of Super Saiyans growing their hair out really long, they just got these giant manly beards?
That'd be pretty sweet. Like, they just get giant yellow glowing beards, but they have to keep pulling it away because it, like, flies up with that gravity-defying ship, and it covers their eyes, and they can't fight.
They're trying to do their, you know, super... Oh! But then their hair keeps flying back in their face, so they go... Oh!
They're like, why were we designed so poorly? It'd be so much better if this was just our regular hair. This is so inconvenient. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think it... Could it have any actual relevance beyond being, like, just, like, a kind of quirky way to show his growth? I would want to say no. Like, that would be silly. But Rayo's hand is one of the elite guard of his fucking group, so I don't know. His mustache could be, like, fucking Quincy letter umlaut, for all I know.
His mustache is going to pop out when Juhabach's in a bad situation.
Oh, God. I don't know if I'd even be surprised at this point. Like, I'd just be like, oh man, of course, decision is coming. That fucking mustache was clutch! And I have like a wacky name, like, I'm Tustafasin Tofarofo! Like, okay.
Tustafasin Tofarofo. I'll try to remember that.
Yeah, if it comes up, just know you heard it here first.
Yes.
Or Kubo's listening to our show and just taking.
Oh, that's a great idea.
He's like, oh my god, fucking talking mustache Quincy is fucking brilliant. What power should it have? The power to shoot farts that turn into thunderbolts that stab your intestines. Awesome. Boom. Done.
All right. I'm rich and awesome.
Yeah. Oh, he has jetpacks eyes, too.
Wow. That's pretty great, actually.
Yeah, Mike, this time I'm starting to come around to Tofferson.
I personally am not really willing to buy into it just yet, and if anything, I think it's just a small detail. I don't think it's actually going to come up, at least explicitly, in the series.
That's fair enough. Question here from Blue Sophie. I actually know her. She's from the One Piece forum I do. We're crewmates, Nick.
Okay.
We pretend to be pirates and sail the sea together.
That's wonderful, Chris.
We're the Redwoods.
Okay.
Don't judge me, Nick.
Read the question.
Hello, Rollo Y and T Roller of Time, which actually I had to stop to read that a couple times.
Don't
I almost
put, pilot.
Yeah, I was like, what? Rollo Y? First of all, I really enjoy your show, and I have to thank you for introducing me to Weekly Shonen Jump as a whole, as well as individual manga like Shokugeki no Soma and One Punch Man. As to my questions, one, if you could take a character from one manga and move them to another manga, either save a good character from a bad manga or just see how they'd work, Who would you take and where would you move them? So start with that one. You take one character from the series and move them somewhere else.
I actually read this question before and was trying to come up with possible ideas. Let's see. I would take Kaido from Prince of Tennis, which is a tennis manga I hate, and put him in Baby Steps, which is a tennis manga I like, because he's like my favorite character in that series.
See the jerky jerk dude?
He's the guy who wears the headband and has all the snake themed moves and stuff.
Okay.
For other ideas, I would take the daughter from Usagi Drop and put her in another series.
You're just going to save her?
Just so that she could not fall in love with her dad. I would take a Satellizer from Freezing and put her in, like, Claymore. You know, another female battle series, has a little bit of fan service, but, you know, has actual fighting and not blatant, you know, raping, but then forgiving. So, yeah. Also, they're actually similar themed villains in that show, too. So.
See, I was going to take Satellizer, I was going to put her in World Trigger. Like, keep it sci-fi, but...
I can see that.
Put her in a world where, yeah, that horrible, god-awful past will hopefully not be an issue.
this place is so strange. None of the girls are playing volleyball and deliberately taking each other's clothes off because they want to get pissed off at each other.
For some reason, the women in this world who fight don't wear miniskirts into battle. This is confusing. Where are your thigh highs?
Come here, Katara. I'll take your shirt off against your will for you.
Just your fucking head's cut off all the time. To be fair, though, Satellizer usually wasn't a part of that. She was because she's always the victim in the god-awful series. But, yeah, I know. I feel like she'd be very on board with things in this. And she wouldn't have to deal with that god-awful, like... harem romance bullshit. She just hang around.
Yeah, you know what? What's his name from that series can go with her, too.
And oh, God. You're asking remember a male character's name from Freezing?
Well, the main guy. Whatever his name was.
Call him whatever you want. He didn't have any other personality. He might as well be a self-insert character. He might as well have been drawn on every panel with a fucking blank circle for a head with a question mark on it so you can literally paste your own fucking face into the series.
Put the blue dot over his head like Christian.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
Fusuke, let's call him. I don't fucking know.
Fusuke.
So he could be in there, but not... Rana, or whatever the Chinese girl's name was, who had the annoying...
Oh, no, she would be trying to take everyone. Well, actually, you know what? Put her in there, too, because I want to see her get her head cut off a lot. That'd be pretty enjoyable for me. Eventually, she'll learn a lesson, right?
I'm just saying, like, if you're going to take Satellizer and her love interest from that series, you should probably take away Rana, because she was the biggest cock block in that series. I know that you love each other, and he's not going to love me. I'm still going to get naked in your bed and try and seduce him, though, because I'm just kind of a bitch. But I'm cute, so you can't hate me. Yay!
Wink, wink. I would also... Another idea that came to me was take Kurita from iShield 21 and put him into One Piece. I think that art style, first and foremost, fits really well. Kurita always had kind of like a silly, cartoonish style that I think would land
right...
Like,
he looked like a dumpling, basically.
Yeah, and I feel like that would clean right into, like, the One Piece universe. Everything would kind of fit in right well there. And I feel like he'd have, like, a good personality for, like... I don't know if you wanted to make him, like, a Straw Hat, or maybe he could be, like, on some other crew, but he'd be, like, that big, fun character. No one has a body type quite like him. Very, you know, jovial, winsome. Everyone's like, I like this fucking dude. He'd be great.
I think that Komusubi might also work in One Piece, too. You know, with his, like, weird verbal tic and the humor that is used to surround him, but also the fact that he's a small, strong man and stuff, that could work, too.
Yeah, I can see that going in a pretty good way. And I need, like, a...
We're also getting a lot of different suggestions from the chat room, some of which I think are good. Take Lucy from Fairy Tail, put her in One Piece... take either Whitebeard or Kaido and put them in Naruto or Bleach so that they can kill everyone. take out Ursa and throw her in Bleach, which I think is actually the easiest fit because of her terrible personality and her swords theme going on. I mean,
but does she have an outfit that can help her win?
Yeah. I mean, She has the one samurai type thing, which is the breast bindings and the pants. That's kind of vaguely like the Shinigami uniforms, but, you know, skimpier.
Yeah, but she can't, like, throw, like, magic sword blasts out of it, can she? Does she have a ranged attack, basically, is what I'm getting at? Can she...
She does have some, yes.
Okay, sure. Cool. She'd be safe, then. I just had one, too. And I'm blanking on it. I want to put Bradley, King Bradley, aka Pride from Full Metal Alchemist. I want to put him in Bleach, so he can school everybody in sword duels.
Another suggestion: take Kenpachi from Bleach and put him in a series that doesn't suck, like that one.
Yeah. I think those would fit pretty well. I feel like I should have stopped after Kurita in One Piece. I feel like I was like, that was really solid. One. Everyone's like, what a great fucking idea, Chris.
That's a great one. I like that. Yeah.
And then we got a second part of a question here. Number two, mostly for Chris, since he's been playing the Telltale games, but you can answer it too, Nick. If you could make any manga into a Telltale-style game, what manga would it be? And would you want the game to feature original characters, like the Game of Thrones game, or main characters in a new story, like the Wolf Among Us game?
I have no experience with Telltale games. So
yeah. Okay. They're kind of like choose-your-own-adventure games. Like, as you go along, you get to make the decisions. Usually, like, the big ones are like, oh, you know, two characters are about to get, you know, fucking shot in the face at the same time. You can only save one. Who do you save? And then that'll affect the story going forward, or give you the illusion that the story has been affected, but all ends up in the same place at the end anyway.
Right.
And it just happened to be one of those games. Was kind of like a long prequel series, and some of them are kind of all original characters. I think a series that would work well with that. I kind of feel like, all right, if you're going to do like a series like Wolf Among Us, kind of like a prequel series, see where things were, I would do Shinangyo Onsei, which we reviewed a while back the guy with the medallion that would summon like a, you know, ghost army, and he was like, you know, very sick, but he was kind of like, almost like, reminds me a little bit of like how Vash the Stampede kind of worked. Like, it's just the guy who kind of wanders around fixing shit. And I feel like if you did a prequel series for him, because he obviously had a big story, you know, a lot of stuff going on before that, you could do some cool stuff there. And I feel like that's a series that would kind of work, has the right tone for those Telltale games, and kind of being able to get a little bit gritty into it. For a series, though, like Game of Thrones, where we're going to take a look at a whole new cast of characters, I think right now my first thought would maybe be like World Trigger, because that works well, and having like, here's a group of characters who are like, I don't know, like fucking lower B rank squad. I guess there just isn't enough plot in your World Trigger right now to maybe sustain that.
Right.
So maybe, One Piece could work well if you just played some like random crew of characters going to a couple different islands, maybe tie them in with some shit, be like, oh, fuck, they found a Pulmogriff. You know, no one can read it because they're not Robin, but it's still pretty sweet. And you can put devil fruits and shit in there, lose crewmates. I mean, it'd be tough to make one that isn't just a darker tone of One Piece, because death is sort of like an inevitability, but I feel like that could kind of work in its own small way. You want to guess on anyone?
Guess?
I haven't played the games, but I
have no clue. The only thing I know about Telltale Games is the one time you were performing CPR on a zombie character when they got a block dropped on their face.
They did, and I kept trying to save him, Nick. I didn't give up.
Hang on, maybe one more time. Oh.
Five! Maybe half of his head being imploded doesn't mean a whole lot. What would, then, if you say, just say a choose-your-own-adventure set in one of those universes.
I think that Naruto would be a pretty good sort of setting for that. That's a deep enough world that you could actually probably play around with it.
That is true, because the Game of Thrones one, you're playing a smaller house in the north. So it's like kind of, you know, the same sort of idea. Like, we're to take a territory that maybe doesn't get a whole lot of use. Maybe take, like, I don't know, you're from the Village of Hidden Clouds or whatever. And it's like, hey, here's a 3-man ninja team. They're dealing with their own plot. Oh, hey, they ran into fucking Chino while they're on a mission. You gotta fight his bug people. And oh, no, you know, the bad ninja's gonna kill one of your two crewmates. You don't
want to be squadmates. You gotta save one. Death is familiar enough to that series that you could actually do that type of stuff.
Yeah. That's actually a good pick, Nick. That was your Kurita into One Piece. I feel like you nailed that one.
Is that just gonna be our code for good ideas?
Yeah, right? I'm like, real clutch,
Kurita in One Piece, good job.
Real clutch, Nick. You really brought it home.
All right. This next question is from Daniel. Dear Weekly Manga Recap, hello Chris and Nick. Thank you for reading my email. I really enjoyed the show. I have a World Trigger related question. The World Trigger anime seems to really be leaning on the Osamu Shiori ship. There are extra scenes that involve comedic hijinks between the two of them. I was wondering what Chris's thoughts were on this.
Who is Shiori? Is that their operator?
She's, yeah, she's the
operator. I was like, did you misspell Kitora? You know what? I don't see a whole lot in it, Nick. I'm not threatened by it.
They both have glasses, Chris.
They do both have glasses.
And black hair.
Black hair, but Kitora and Osamu have the black hair as well, so that's kind of like a lost point between them. I don't feel threatened about Shiori. I'm sure she has a crush on one of like the top members of Tamakoma. Like, that just seems like an inevitability. Also, I'm not too concerned, Nick, because I don't know if you noticed this, but in Jump this week, I'm just going to open it up real quick so I can read it verbatim, but there's the author comments at the end of the issue review.
Really?
Yes. So I'm just going to scroll here to the end. I'm just going to say, here we go. Daisuke Ashihara, World Trigger, says, "The World Trigger Smash Borders game is so fun and the characters look great. I've been using Kitora and Osamu."
Aww.
Boom. Done. They're paired. Boom. The ships move closer. Didn't relate to them having any connection. In fact, based on the idea that it's a single-player game, he couldn't be playing to both of them at the same time, and often they're probably fighting each other more often, but the fact he's using those two makes me think he's got a thing for them, Nick. He's like, I like these two. They're meant for each other.
See, the way that I see shipping in general when it comes to World Trigger is we've had no hint in the 2 years that the series has been running that romance is a thing that gets at all focused on. If you look at some of the other shonen action series that have run in Jump, you know, One Piece is a series. Romance is basically, like, never brought up unless it's part of it.
That's because they're in love with adventure.
They're in love with adventure. Oda has the best fucking answers in Q&A sessions, by the way. What was the other thing? Like, Zoro speaks with his heart when he talks.
Oh, yeah, that's how he talks. He speaks with his heart, man.
Yeah. But, you know, series like Naruto, characters had crushes on each other. Bleach, or Ihime, has a crush on Ichigo. You know, romance is something that is actually brought up, so there is actually discussion to take place in terms of that stuff. Dragon Ball, you know, Chi-Chi demanded that Goku be her fiancé, and stuff like that. Romance is a thing that exists. In 2 years of World Trigger, we haven't gotten, like, anything. Like, no one has a crush.
Well, that's because we're too busy fighting neighbors, Nick. They haven't had time to settle down and think about the future.
Well, think about the first 2 years of Naruto. They were, like,
That's because they were fucking stupid-ass ninjas who spent their time rescuing cats from trees.
Well, and also, they're, like, the same age range as the guys in World Trigger. Well, actually, the guys in World Trigger are a little bit older, which means they have even more reason to having the hots for each other. It just never comes up. It just doesn't seem like that type of series to me.
I feel like it is there. They're just very subtle, or I'm just choosing to read into a lot.
Maybe I'm pretty sure you should read into it.
Maybe Annalise is just having an effect on me based on the fact that she keeps shipping characters.
No, it's like, shipping can be really fun. I'm just saying, if you're going to, like, go into, like, this is definitely going to happen, I hate to break it to you, it's probably not.
And, like, the end of World Trigger comes along, and I'm like, Nick, this is bullshit! Osamu and Kitora never kissed! It's horseshit!
It's like, Chris, we're 40 now!
We're like, Chris, we've been doing this show for 24
go
years!
Go talk to your wife!
Like, no!
We sound like really old 40-year-olds.
Yeah. So, the next 20 years have been
really
hard.
We've really stressed ourselves out hating Bleach so much.
Like, I'm just like, no, she won't dress up like Kitora like I asked her to. If they won't do it, then I'll finish the series. Oh, heart attack! Nick, don't do the show without me, I demand it.
Hi, and welcome to Weekly Manga Review.
You're like Weekly Schmanga Recap.
It's a Schmeekly Manga Recap.
Oh, you fuck! I'm gonna haunt you!
Oh, a ghost!
Specifically in your toilet! Every time you flush is going to get plugged! Oh, now you know!
Oh, thank you for the question, Daniel.
I got a question here from Voice Against Propaganda. He has two of them, and he's asked specifically, please read them thoroughly. So I guess maybe at one point we got questions from him. Make sure you read
through all of them before we actually, right?
Okay. Yeah. He might have also been like, you fuckers tried to read through it one time and missed a sentence and shit all over me for an hour or something. Question the first. When I asked last time, see, now I'm reading it thoroughly? And that grammar? That
you
syntax?
You shouldn't have done that. You hung yourself by your own petard, propaganda.
When I asked like for a world trigger.
I'm grammatically reviewing this. Going to put the little squiggly lines for Microsoft Word under your sentences.
Well, to be fair, what he's saying is grammatically correct. It's just very, very ugly. You need to use different verbs here. It's called diversity. When I asked when World Trigger started getting good, the heart of the question was, quote, if a series is doing poorly, what can it do to turn itself around that doesn't rely on fan service? Or is it dead from the get-go after reading its presence, unquote? Or is it a case-by-case scenario question, and that you'll go in with an open mind and see how you feel later? So, what do we do, Nick? If a series is doing poorly, what can it do to turn itself around that isn't just fan service?
Have tremendously good luck.
That is a huge aspect of it.
That is basically part of it. In terms of if you are actually talking about popularity, if you're talking about quality, you can do a fuck ton of things. You can just think about your characters and explore them more thoroughly rather than, you know, just presenting them as is and saying, oh, these should be cool. You know, you will like these guys. Sometimes you actually have to go back, deconstruct them, and give us a reason to like them and so on and so forth. Popularity is something that is so difficult to figure out, though. Fan service you bring up because guys like looking at boobs. There are a lot of guys who read Shonen Jump. I actually tend to think of an example being Madoka Box, actually, which always had an amount of fan service in it. I think it might have had more over time, but one of the things that it really did was it switched from being a series kind of like skit dance, where, you know, there was a crew of people that would go around solving problems, and it became more and more of a straight-up battle series. And so it switched genres in order to, you know, get more popularity, and ended up surviving far longer because of it. Sometimes you have to just go for what's popular, and it really compromised what it initially seemed to be in order to do that. Maybe that was always in the cards, but there is still a very dramatic transformation after about 15, 20 chapters in that series. But it's really something that is impossible to answer, because if we could answer it, we would be best-selling mangaka.
Well, we also need someone to draw, I think, too.
Yeah, maybe.
We could have the greatest series in the world, but if we come in with my bullshit stick figures,
I'd be a best-selling author, basically, if I knew exactly what kind of series was going to be popular and catch on.
One thing that you can do... This sounds like one of those like bullshit answers, but it's sometimes it helps to slow down, and sometimes it helps to speed up. Sometimes you can get a lot out of your series by slowing down, giving us more of a reason to care about this world. Maybe the characters in it, you give them some development. Yuma's big thing, his backstory, and giving him sort of a character and motivation was what really kind of started World Trigger's turn. But on the other hand, sometimes you have a premise, and you need to get to the point to attract readers, you know, going back to your mention of popularity. Sometimes you just need to show us what this world's about. We mentioned when Kagami Gami came out, and this is maybe a stupid point because I think Kagami Gami might still be running, if not at least ran longer than a lot of the other series we liked. But we noted how Kagami Gami took three chapters until it was like, oh, hey, and we're also going to be kind of like a horror series, too. And like, oh, we really should have opened with this, as opposed to chapter two, which was like, let's clean my apartment. Sometimes it just helps to get to what is going to be the meat of your series, the hook, the draw, what makes the series so distinct or unique, and that can kind of give your series a bit more of an angle to work with. And it's apparently still running, so yeah, it might not mean anything at all. Apparently it worked out for it in the end, though. That also is Japan also got, what, the 10 chapters after that we would never would have seen, even if it got canceled us per regular, so.
And it's actually doing all right now. It's in the kind of the middle of the rankings, too, so.
Yes. Question the second. With so many tropes in many running manga, is it more of a matter of the author catering to a particular crowd than everyone overall, or is the author trying to convert people into that said style, sort of like de-censoring them to the point where they don't care either way? Once again, voice against propaganda.
Also, that doesn't say troops. That doesn't.
That says troops.
That says troops, as yeah. in, like, you know, comedy troops.
I was going to give him that one. I was just going to overlook it. But desensoring, I think you mean, well, maybe it is desensoring. I would say desensitizing them to the point where they don't care.
I don't know.
But either way, it's don't care, not down care. This is ridiculous.
Maybe that's not their first language, Chris. Maybe
I like to think Voice Against Propaganda is like, I said that in February, you fucks. You're shitting on me for a fucking email I sent to your podcast six months ago.
Fuck you. Maybe you should answer this earlier, you assholes.
My hands were broken back then. I couldn't type.
I guess that what they're asking is, do authors attempt to cater to what is popular, or do they attempt to convert people to something new because nobody else is doing it?
Well, it's hard to say trope, but, I mean, there's one thing I would think of when I hear, like, oh, they're doing tropes and trying to convert people to style.
Oh, I see what you mean.
I might think, like, oh, a trope, like, in like, a response to his question, oh, like, kind of how Fairy Tail was like, oh, I'm going to be a lot like One Piece. Big emphasis on Nakama, guildmates, that sort of, you know, kinsmanship that's very particular to a family that's not a family. You know, a lot of action-y powers, things like that. Okay. That I could understand, but...
So, certain elements, why are certain they so
elements, nuts? Yeah. Why do those work out so well? And do people, you know, do authors utilize them? To a certain extent, yes, but I don't think series succeed very well imitating one another. I feel like every time a series gets popular, you don't see that many successful duplicates of it. Like, after Shingeki no Kyojin, you know, Attack on Titan came out, I didn't feel like there was some huge influx of, you know, uber-dark death series. It's one of the few mediums that I feel doesn't follow the leader so much. You know, you look at movies.
I think that you're actually completely wrong.
Okay.
I think that happens all the time. I mean, something gets really popular and people attempt to emulate it. Maybe not the authors, you know, wanting to cash in on it, but because editors are like, this is popular right now, so I think that, you know, you should add this element. This is because this is popular among readers. Or, you know, you should change your series to be more like this series because we know that's popular and stuff. You know, that because that's just how, you know, people operate in terms of, like, we need to, you know, build a franchise that's successful and stuff. They will go for what they think is going to sell. So, and, you know, when Shingeki no Kyojin came out, sure, there weren't, you know, all of these, you know, giants attacking humans series that came out, but there were a lot of series that got picked up that, you know, had the darker style, and so on and so forth. And the thing is that they only, you know, copied certain elements of Shingeki no Kyojin, not actually the fact that it's a very detailed world with a lot of developed characters and so on and so forth. So, there you go.
Yeah, even if characters or series are getting duplicated, it doesn't seem like many of them succeed. One of the ones I always kind of think of, after Fairy Tail got popular, there was a series called Buster Keel or something like that. It was something Buster something other. Had an art style that was like, oh, this is a lot like Oda and Hero style, except not good at all. And I think it ran for like 2 months and then got canceled. But it was one of those series that, like, the moment you look at it, you're like, holy shit, you're trying to be Fairy Tail. This did not work for you at all. I guess that's kind of our answer on that. There you go. Now, next time you send in a question to Voice Against Propaganda, you make sure to read through it thoroughly. I don't have a sound effect for it, but that's where you'd hear the sound effect of a mic dropping.
Boom.
Yeah, just boom. Like, oh. Fell on my inflatable clown that had its air hole open, and for some reason. That's unfortunate. Oh, Nick, can you just be my Foley guy? Like, oh no, it's falling down the stairs. Oh, it hit my horse. And then ran over my piano. And now it hit Richard Nixon in the head. And now he's making out with Bill Clinton.
Nope.
Oh. Come on, you be Richard Nixon, I'll be Bill Clinton. We just have to pretend we're making out. Damn, so close.
To my ultimate fantasy.
To my dream. No, it wasn't Beat the Vandal Buster. That's a very different series that predates Fairy Tale by a good,
like, a long time.
7 years.
Yeah. Maybe more. I don't know. Where the fuck were we? Shit.
You would want to be on February 16th as we pull the curtain back. We're going back really far, guys.
Yeah. Alright, so this is from Jacob. To Chris Rolo Larios T, and why Nick Ruler of Freeman Time? I continue to watch the show and continue to watch it. Blah, blah, praise. Okay, my question. What are your opinions on manga adaptations? Not anime or video games based on manga, but the other way around. Do you think that manga are a good way to flesh out characters, such as with Metroid and Zelda manga, or a cheap media expansion like Gurren Lagann? Well, I think that you kind of answered your own question, haven't you? Different examples, you know, apply to different things. A lot of times, if an anime gets really popular that was not based on a manga series, you're going to see a manga tie-in because, you know, people might see it and they might just buy it, you know? And honestly, it really heavily depends on who is writing the thing. Sometimes they come up with some really cool ideas. Sometimes they just follow the original story exactly. Or sometimes the, you know, if it's like a prequel manga series, sometimes it's stupid, sometimes it's good. It can go either way. But in general, if you have a manga that is basically just a manga adaptation of the anime story that already exists, it's not a new original story or anything like that, it's not going to be very good.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of answered it completely, so I'll just follow it up with an anecdote. Back in the day, I used to be on another One Piece role playing forum, different from the one I'm on now. And my friend Frank was on there. He was the one who tend to buy most of the manga that I read back then. And I remember he went on to the forum once to complain about the fact that he bought the Kingdom Hearts manga, because he's like, it was...
Oh, that's actually the follow-up question in this email.
Is it?
Yeah, when are you going to review the Kingdom Hearts manga, Chris?
Well, he knew it. My friend Frank noted. I've always had no intention of doing it, because he noted in his, like, review of it, he's like, oh, this fucking series costs, like, 1.5 times what a normal, like, it was $4 more than a normal series for, like, none of, like, for being a shorter series, for having, like, 3 less chapters than a normal fucking Tonkabon had. And it was nothing but a retelling of the Kingdom Hearts story, like, verbatim, with, like, nothing added into it, nothing unique, nothing like that, so... And I remember he got yelled at by a moderator because he's like, you're flaming. It's like, really? He's actually bringing in genuine criticism. He's complaining about the price of a series that wasn't living up to standards.
Yeah, this in like the product review section or something?
No, it was just like talking about, it was like a forum, like, you know, manga and anime discussion, no flaming, like basically. Which was more,
wow.
Which was more to be like, hey, don't go in and be like, fuck Naruto, that big doofus ass clown fucker asshole can suck a dick and die.
There's a pretty difference between, you know, a negative review and flaming.
Yeah,
you
know? Well, one dude, like, I don't know, one, maybe that guy was like a crazy big Kingdom Hearts fan. He's like, no, how dare you.
I mean, that'd be like
if you complain about the manga, they won't make Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, I don't think they're ever gonna make Kingdom Hearts 3. I know they say it's coming. Wake me up when it comes.
You know, that'd be like if I go into, like, I don't know, a Bleach forum, and I'm like, you know, I find some of the characters in the Gotei 13 to be incredibly underdeveloped for, you know, the roles that they are supposed to be filling. How can we have sympathy for them as an audience if we have been given no reason to actually feel sympathy for them? And why is Mayuri a hero when he's been, you know, only been shown as a tremendous psychopath in the previous series? And then someone said, how dare you, you're banned! You know, it's like, those aren't even the biggest, like, complaints I have about Bleach. That's, like, the most reasonable criticism I can come up with, as opposed to, God, this series sucks.
Yeah, this series sucks balls, stupid fucking hand, dickhead. Yeah. Stop flaming. But,
like Jacob mentioned, yeah, there are some interesting ideas that, you know, you can't really, for example, in certain video games, have a character because of the whole silent protagonist template sort of thing. Whereas in, like, the Metroid manga and the Zelda manga, Samus and Link talk all the fucking time. Which is really weird in the case of Link. But
yeah, he's just like, hey, everybody! Like, he's like the Fonz, like, hey, everybody! Who wanna go out to the ball and dance? We're just like, huh, I didn't think he'd be this much of a party dude. Yeah, he wears sunglasses around.
The weirdest part about it is that, you know, he's going into the dungeons and stuff, and he's just kind of talking to himself.
Oh, does he, like, throw out, like, zingers and stuff, like an icicle misses his head? He's like, oh, that would have been a not ice thing to happen. Worm, worm. Like a bat comes by and is like, that sucks! Cuts it in half and takes the rupees that drop out. Like, ah! Why? And I was like, looks like you've gone batty. Does anyone else want to comment on my jokes?
Nebby, like, slaps him across the face.
I can't kill you yet.
I'll find a way. I'll find the cheat code. Bitch.
That fairy wasn't very nice of you. There we go. I got it.
Did you ever watch Powerpuff Girls? And there's an episode where the mayor is playing a Legend of Zelda.
Oh god, I do remember
and
that.
He accidentally kills Nabby.
Yeah, and then keeps ending his game, and he's just like,
"Oh damn, fairy."
Well, they don't say damn, Nick. That would have been previous game. It was like, darn, fairy.
I think he says darn.
That would be great if he was like, you fucking fairy. It actually, that reminds me of one time I was watching an episode of Johnny Bravo. And
yes.
Well, I don't think this is going where you're going, unfortunately.
No, I'm just like, oh god, cartoons are so great.
They were. Someone dropped, I don't know how it happened, but it was Johnny Bravo, so I'm sure it was brilliant. Someone dropped a piece of dynamite down Johnny Bravo's pants, and it exploded. And he had a line that was like, well, that was an exercise for the old glutes. And for some reason, I thought he said gonads, and I was like, that's crazy! They said gonads on television? I, like, told my brother, I was like, come in! Come in! You gotta see this! They say gonads on television!
They say glutes, you dumbass!
That's a regular word, smack! Moving along, I got a question here from Jonah Bacon Lefkowitz, who I know also from the One Piece Four. He's also a member of the Redwoods, Nick. He's the captain of the crew with the tree fruit powers.
Thank you.
All right. He says, I want to start this off by saying I love the episode last week, and how I bring this up because he mentions
episode from February, like 10.
Yeah, he says, lots of great jokes, particularly the Tosin Twitter War, which okay, I just wanted to bring up because I was like, that was amusing. I'm glad to remember that. I was like, that was pretty great. But he says, lastly, I'd like to ask a question. There was a time when Naruto, Bleach, and One Piece were all running at the same time and were all very, very good. They were accompanied by other really good series in the magazine, and a lot of people like to think of that as a golden time in Jump. I personally think that we're in another golden age of Jump right now, since series like One Piece, My Hero Academia, Assassination Classroom, Shokugeki no Soma, Haikyuu, Gakuen Hotai, and World Trigger are all fairly popular and very good. This is obviously before Gakuen Hotai was canceled, but it's also worth noting that though I don't read them, series like Hinomaru Izumo and Gintama are said to be very good. And though it's in a slump right now, Toriko has been fantastic in the past, and I feel it's too early to judge whether or not this change in Toriko's pacing is going to be permanent. Ha ha ha! 6 months later. Or not. And he also says some people might disagree, but I like Misukoi. It also feels like bad series are leaving the magazine faster since E-Robo is canceled after just 11 chapters, which is the fastest cancellation I've ever seen. As such, I think we're in a golden age of Jump since we have a lot of fantastic series running currently. Do you agree or disagree?
I feel that we are... Okay. I'm going to make a wrestling reference here.
Alright. I did warn people on the Patreon. I was like, we're probably going to tangent into wrestling and Marvel at some point.
Wrestling is known to kind of go through cycles in terms of popularity. In the 80s, it went through a golden era with the Hulkamania era, where you had Hulk Hogan was insanely popular, but also the guys like, you know, Macho Man Randy Savage and The Ultimate Warrior and Jake the Snake Roberts and all those guys were all very popular. Then, you know, steroids got outed, basically. Trials started happening. There was a fear that Vince might have to sell the company and so on and so forth. A lot of people left the company, and those that remained were not very big stars. So you got what was called the New Generation Era, where there were some talented guys there, but there just wasn't a lot of popularity. But eventually, those guys grew in tremendous popularity, and by the late 90s, you had basically everything in place for this second golden era in wrestling called the Attitude Era, with, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock and guys like that. Then, after some of those guys, again, retired and left, we went through another slump, and now we're kind of at the point where the guy who's been the top guy for a long time, John Cena, he has kind of been stale during his entire run, and so popularity of wrestling in general has kind of plateaued. but we're getting at this point where there are a lot of guys who look like they're about to explode in popularity and things are going to move on to another generation. And so it seems as though we might get to a point where there might be like another mega popular era. Who knows what the future holds, but things like this do tend to go in cycles with manga as well, where there at certain times will be really popular series. And maybe you'll get lucky enough to have a bunch all at once. And that's what we had, you know, in the early 2000s, because, you know, you had One Piece, you had Naruto, and you had Bleach at the top of its popularity. Naruto's gone, Bleach has tapered off. And there's nothing really that stands on the level of One Piece at this time. But those series that you name, Shokugeki no Soma, My Hero Academia, World Trigger, and Assassination Classroom, you know, those are series that are growing in popularity currently. So maybe we'll get to a point where they all hit their prime around the same time, and suddenly Shonen Jump has a bunch of different flagship franchises that they can point to and say, oh, these are really popular, and they can promote the hell out of them, and they'll all sell really well. We're not in a golden age right now, but I think that we could go into one with those series as they become more popular, basically. That's, you know, just the way it goes, where it takes time for something to catch on, and sometimes everything goes right for a bunch of stuff at once.
I would say, as far as for English readers of Shonen Jump, we are absolutely in a golden age right now. Because when you look at a standard issue of Shonen Jump, it is rare that I've ever said in like the past, you know, 6 months to a year, that was a bad issue or this was a boring issue. Generally speaking, there's 4 to 5 series in each volume. And this was a little bit more so when Gakuhotai was still in the magazine. But generally series enough in it that I'm like, ooh, it's kind of hard to pick which my favorites are. Like even this week, you know, we'll talk about more tomorrow, but I was like, oh, One Piece had a great chapter. My Hero Academia had a great one. So, you know, Soma had a great chapter. World Trigger was great. The fact that I could talk more about when series are awesome than the fact that there was a point in time where we were like, oh man, you know, One Piece was great. Now let's talk about Naruto and Bleach sucking. Toriko may be good. And then we'll talk about some other, you know, jumpstart series that no one really cares about or something like that. You know, those times are behind us. So I feel like right now, as English speakers, we have a stacked magazine. And I think that's awesome, you know. We don't get access to some of the other series that other people really enjoy, like Haikyuu or Assassination Classroom. But I think for what we get right now, this is absolutely great, especially for, you know, kind of like the value we pay for it and things like that.
I think that's, I mean, and also, you know, the online subscription and stuff, that is probably going to play a role in how this plays out. As basically we move into, you know, the new, I guess, methods, the new means by which people read manga and stuff, embracing technology in order to get their manga, as opposed to basically everything being defined by how the paperbacks sell in Japan. Mm. I mean, you know, that's a few months ago, there was that interview that Shonen Jump did with the Japanese editor of Weekly Shonen Jump, and he said that he thinks that, you know, online stuff and, you know, the American audience, that is going to really define the future success of Shueisha and stuff. So,
yeah, and it's just the fact that we're getting all this in a time where, God, do you remember it was, must have been like 4 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, UI and Juwario were talking about how we wanted to do a video series about how hard it is to be, like how expensive it was of a hobby to be.
Yeah, we spitballed some stuff for a while about, yeah, because you can't really get manga unless you couldn't really get manga in those days unless you either just, you know, read scanlations or you waited months for the volumes to eventually come out.
Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, a couple years later, I can't even imagine making that same argument. Almost day and date with just about every series out there. You can get your manga generally pretty easily digitally. It's still a little expensive, but, you know, in comparison to comic books, it's fucking ridiculous how much better of a situation we're in. So,
I mean, in comic books, you have to pay like what, several dollars for a single issue.
I remember.
So you're like, you're talking about like paying twice as much for one series.
I mean, the only difference would be the fact that it's color opposed to black and white. But the fact of the matter is, you are getting probably 4 times the amount of content for about the same price, if maybe a dollar or two difference between a comic book and a manga volume.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we're definitely living in a golden age, at least of manga consumption in America right now, in the, you know, the other countries they support that aren't in his porn, because not America. Britain or something.
Or Germany or whatever.
No, they're not in Germany, Nick. Remember, we have a lot of German viewers, yeah, so it's just like, this sucks.
We want you to jump.
We want the jump and jump over here.
What the fuck is that?
Dein Führer, come on. But yes, okay. We would like the Shonen Jump.
Yeah. Good question. I like the conversation we got from that. Next is from Aerozord. When I heard you guys talking about the idea of power negation being interesting while reviewing Black Clover, I thought it would be the perfect time to recommend a certain magical index, which we did.
This is when I starred for a recommendation, so you might actually want to go to the next one.
That is a recommendation, not a question.
Yep. It's a pure recommendation, sorry.
So ignore that.
Aerozord, we did your series. You can't be upset.
Okay. From JL. Huh. Weekly manga recap episodes are starting to get really long. Do you guys ever feel like you have to recap so many manga that you have to skim some of them to do them all in time? No, we just go over the limit.
Well, that or we just don't bother with Toriko sometimes.
Yeah, we discuss stuff to the extent we want to discuss it, and we don't really... I mean, when all is said and done, we do go, oh, shit, we went over 2 hours. But we're not, like, holding ourselves to a particular format. I think that we're just more concerned with, you know, having a good time, making jokes, enjoying the conversation, and discussing all the stuff that we feel needs to be discussed.
Yeah. I feel like the series, Weekly Manga Recap, the podcast, it's gotten longer over time, but that's, like, a natural evolution. We're not padding out, and I try to not skim, although, again, we will admit, there were a couple weeks where it was like, shit, this podcast's going along, we still have World Trigger and Toriko. Fuck it, shit happens in Toriko, let's move on. World Trigger, we want to rave about this for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, otherwise, no, we just have fun.
Next question, then.
Yes, I have one from the Scottish Gamer, who describes himself as a long-time fan. This is good day, gents. Not to start this email off all sappy, but I want to thank you for putting together such a funny and informative podcast. He says, way back in episode 1, when you took questions from the chat rather than emails, I asked both of you one of your first questions. Quote, what is the most disappointing manga you've ever read? Insert Prince of Tennis reference here. Well, now that so many years have passed and you've covered so many new manga, I thought I would ask again, but with a slight twist. What is the most disappointing manga from a recommendation you have received, and what was the most surprising manga recommendation?
Oh, God.
This is tough, if only because I don't have a list of those in front of me.
Yeah, we should have probably been more prepared for this one. In order to bias time for that, though, I will tell a little story about...
As I open up Podbeam.
Yeah, really.
No, not Pornhub.
In order to access our page, you have to put Weekly Manga Recap in front of it. Wait a minute, what have you not been telling me, Chris?
Whoops.
WeeklyMangaRecap.pornhub.com.
It's where we go to. We're hosted on Podbean. You just have to watch a couple interracial fucking gangbangs.
Then you get to the analysis of the new My Hero Academia chapter.
Yeah, then you get to Naruto.
Prince of Tennis, I think, still remains the most disappointing manga that I've ever read in terms of a non-recommendation series that we have done. Although there are a couple of other sports series that I have read that have also been very disappointing. There is a pretty successful author named Adachi Mitsuru, who has done a lot of sports-themed series as a backdrop to a romance story. I believe his most successful series is Cross Game, which I haven't read. But anyway, this guy's done a bunch of different stuff, and his story... I've read two of them. I've read a swimming manga called Rough, and I've read a baseball manga called H2. And oh my god, like, this guy is the biggest fucking cocktease. This guy, like, embodies the romance story with the unsatisfying payoff at the end. Like, for example, Ruff basically just teases you with this will they, won't they thing, while also building up the rivalry between the main protagonist and also his rival for the main girl's love. And basically, the final chapter is they're about to have the swimming match between the two of them, and she's like, I know that I'm going to, you know, choose the winner of this match, and I know that that's going to be you. And, like, you see them, like, dive off the diving board as the race starts, and she's like, because I love you, you know, main character. And then the series ends. And it's just like, you don't get to see who wins, you don't get to see them together, it's just like, I know I love you. Bang! Start! Done. Fucking hell.
Yeah, well, that was kind of bitter, sweet, and sad.
I'm just, like, so fucking pissed. Like, you don't get to see the race happen. It's just, like, presumably he won, and they got together. I guess. I don't know.
We'll find out never.
See you in my next of a billion different series. That's written a lot of stuff.
I'm gonna go with, because here's the thing, I go with the easiest answer of, like, what's this disappointing manga? Like, it's still fucking Air Gear, that shitty piece of shit. But I want to go with the way you phrase it is most disappointing, and then yes, the most surprising. So I'll go with most surprising first. Most surprising to me, honestly, is World Trigger. Not because World Trigger is the most amazing thing in the world or anything like that. It's because I started out not having a single fuck for the series. It was nothing I thought I needed in my life. I was never like, man, you know, it'd be great if Jump had a sci-fi kind of battle series. And, like, I didn't think anything of it. The first 15 chapters, I crapped all over. But now having it, I'm like, holy shit, this is so much more enjoyable. Like, this is honestly something I never would have expected. You know, it's not like when, what's the My Hero Academia's author's name? I always forget. Horikoshi. It's not like when Horikoshi came out with the news. Horikoshi. That's what I thought. I was like, I thought it started with the news. It's not when Horikoshi came out with another series and I was like, oh, well, I fucking already love Barrage, so I'm going to, you know, have some high expectations of this. I had no expectations whatsoever for World Trigger, and it has become one of my highlights of the week. So, oh, they said recommendations, so I guess that's a bit different.
Yeah, it's a little bit, because that was just something that we just started doing.
Yeah.
Because we were doing it as part of the weekly...
let me do my most disappointing. I'll say my most disappointing, then, might be Otaku no Masami-san. If only because that series, I remember being like, this isn't bad. This is actually, like, because when the premise was told to us, you know, it's a guy in a single apartment, grows up to have his kid, you know, has a daughter suddenly thrust on him, he has to kind of learn to be an adult. I was like, that seems like an interesting premise. And I enjoyed it kind of at the start, even though it had some issues. But the fact that you get to the end and the way things just develop, and you're like, oh, this is so awful. I'm so sad. This was so close to being good. Basically the same reason you hated a soggy drop, but I didn't have the same vitriol.
That doesn't have disappointments for me. That's just like, well, this was kind of boring, and then it was terrible.
There we go. I actually do have one for most surprising. Silver Spoon. Same kind of reasons of World Trigger. Didn't have any expectations for it, other than I was like, oh, the Fullmetal Alchemist manga is working on this? All right. But the fact that it was an agricultural drama series, and I was so enthralled by it, I'm going to put that on there.
Let's see here. This is kind of hard because we've, you know, done so many, and I really should have actually looked at this question before we did this. I looked at some of the questions before, so that I could have some answers ready. I didn't look at this one. This is probably the one that I should have looked at specifically. But I don't know about most disappointing, but here are some that are disappointing. Ones that I just plain hated, like Spider-Man manga. also disappointing, Uzumaki, because I'd heard many great things about it, and it turned out to be not all that great.
You're like, wait, this super scary series about people fucking turning into snails and into tornadoes? That's stupid!
One of the surprising ones was Teppu, just because, you know, I had no idea what I was getting into, really, and then it was really good, and I still like that series, and wish that more people would, you know, it was easier to get my hands on new chapters and stuff, because, you know, it's not really sold over here, so sad.
Bummer. Bummer.
There was also another one that I was thinking of in terms of one that surprised me. I gotta find it again because I've already forgotten about it. Hang on. Chris, take over.
Okay. Well, I would just like to say, guys, I had my answers ready relatively quickly, and I didn't read the question.
Well, I was buying time for you.
And then I bought a lot of time for you. It was like, you know, Otaku no Musami-san. Yeah, that's how I always
pronounce. You cannot pronounce that right, no matter how many times you try.
No, and elongated only shows how badly I'm pronouncing it.
That was it. One of the ones that actually surprised me was Real. I thought that I was going to like it already because I was a fan of Slam Dunk. But it was a very different series from what I was expecting it to be because there was so little emphasis actually on wheelchair basketball. It was more on the stories of how these guys were dealing with being paraplegic or quadriplegic or whatever, and what they had to go through. And you really got to deal with them and go through their struggles with them. And also, the guy whose name that I forget, the beardy guy dropout.
I was close too.
Whatever. I really liked him. He was a cool character that I really got behind. So it was a very different series than I had been expecting, even though I had been expecting.
Nomiya.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So there we go. Boosh.
I guess that it's my turn.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes. We're in March now, guys. We're cruising.
We're getting through this. It's only been 90 minutes. Or an hour, I guess. We'll get there eventually.
Oh, hold on, no. There is actually a pretty big gap of time. We won't. Yeah. It's not like we're going to be like two more questions. Like, well, we're still in March, so bye, everybody.
Next is from... Oh, God. Shyler Wladarski? I'm sorry. I would have to have your name spoken to me in order to pronounce it correctly. Hi, guys. I have been a fan of your podcast for a couple years now and always enjoy your commentary. But as this Toriko arc has progressed, I've been faced with one question that can make this whole scenario mostly avoidable. Why didn't they just give Komatsu a mechanical heart or even just a small water pump to move his blood instead of trying to harvest Perrin the way they are doing now? It's less interesting, but nobody loses an arm.
Well, I think you answered your own question there. They're like, we
it's
can't
less
do a,
interesting.
We can't do a battle tournament out of this. It probably would have been a reason why it's. Although this is the Toriko world, so it would still have to have some connection to food. I'm sure it's not like a mechanical heart. I'm sure it's like a mechanical heart operated by fucking nuts and bolt ants that eat chocolate to function, and they would pump the blood. And you're like, well, we don't have the chocolate for the nuts and bolt ants. Like, oh, we'll have to go kill the Monkey King and get the chocolate in his balls.
That basically covers it. Would have been less interesting. Maybe the technology does not exist in the Toriko world. And yeah. Also maybe the nature by which his heart was removed from his body with, like the empty space being put in its place, maybe that would have interfered in actually giving him an artificial heart.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yes, from Kyle Lowe. Says, I've been a viewer for a while and I want to ask a quick two-part question. Have you ever seen the abridged series None Piece? And if so, what are your thoughts and favorite jokes?
Don't have any.
If not, would you be willing to do a Twitch stream reacting to this series? I think it would be great to see people react to it, and I feel None Piece the Bridge needs more recognition.
Also, Killer Bee for Straw Hat 2016.
Yeah, also Killer Bee.
There's another suggestion for a character to get out of one series and put in another. I think Killer Bee would actually fit better in One Piece, because that series has more random, weird, funny characters in it than Naruto does.
He does.
In terms of doing a reaction to it, we are looking for ideas on what to do for our bonus episodes and stuff. Maybe we'll end up doing that. We'll see.
Possibly.
Promises.
I've not seen None Piece either. I've vaguely heard of it. I know there was a thread on our forum about people talking about how much they like it. It's just, I don't... And it's nothing against anything about it. I don't have a lot of time to like watch series like that anymore. So I've not been aware. There's actually, though... this is another weird anecdote of things that were never done, but way back in the day.
Oh, God, I know what you're going to talk about.
Way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Me and a group of friends.
Oh, boy, so I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Bridge series.
Yeah, what you guys would, Team 4 Star said, why don't we become bridges? There is a friend of ours who... No, I had nothing against that Aussie guy. I don't use his name. It was that Aussie guy. We were way back in the day, early days of Channel Awesome.
Didn't he try and
turn
you and Sean against each other?
You know what? That's neither here nor there at this point. We did a lot of fun stuff back in the day. He was a good friend then. And one of the ideas he had was, let's do an abridged series. And I was such a big fan of One Piece at the time. We joked about doing a One Piece abridged series until we actually started trying to do it, to the point where I know Sean was going through the series, like watching the series now. We were actually starting out scripting our first episode. Yep.
Actually, were had figured stuff out that we were gonna do. I think that we got about halfway through the first episode in terms of scripting it. We had figured out a bunch of like long running character gags that we were going to do.
I know we were deciding on voices, and I think I was supposed to be Usopp because it was, we were gonna be like the Team Four Star guys, and then it was like, oh, they're writers and voice actors, despite the fact that none of us were good voice actors.
Yeah, I mean that was. That was one thing, but I mean we never got to recording for one thing.
No, we never got to recording. And eventually, I think the interest
just waned on it. Basically,
it might have been, or something else, some other fucking sparkly ball of glitter caught our eye, and we turned our attention to that or something.
Well, we also I think didn't have an idea of the scope. You know, the thing that a lot of amateur guys who do abridged series stuff don't understand is the scope of work that the good abridgers, have to put into their series.
So basically,
match,
lip flaps to the jokes you're trying to make, context.
The stuff that, guys like Lil Karibo and Team Four Star, the work that they put into those, short 10-minute episodes with existing footage, even, is tremendous. They spend so much time scripting and recording and editing.
For something that you can never monetize, that is going to be constantly headhunted by the people who actually own the rights to the anime.
The only way that they monetize stuff is basically by making merch off of, jokes that they do. So, side projects that they do that, their fans support. But in order to get to that point, you have to go without monetary reward for a long time. And it's, unless it's something you're very passionate about, it's not really worth the investment. Or it's going to be amateurish and crappy, and I have seen my fair share of shitty abridged series out there. So there you go.
Yeah. So, but that is a story for the time where we almost were a One Piece abridged series.
Well, you say almost. I think that you mean in an alternate reality.
Somewhere out there is an alternate dimension where not only did we do this One Piece abridged series, we are the most successful human beings on the planet because of it. Because there's infinite worlds. I mean, there's countless ones where we do one and they're like, this was awful, you guys suck. And also one where we do one, it sucks, and then Brad Pitt cuts my head off in response. Which is terrifying. But yeah. I guess this one's pretty good.
And in terms of details and stuff on how, stuff is financed and stuff like that, there are guys in the chat pointing out, they're not being targeted and they can monetize stuff more. Yeah, but for a while, though, they didn't.
And I'm also not, I know they're the ones I'm referencing, but they're not the only people doing abridging out there. And I just mean, in general, putting a bridge series out there isn't always appreciated. I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! The abridged series was... I might even still be getting, fucking hammered by...
Well, that's because of fucking 4Kids.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just the thing. Like, that's, it's a rough
life. I think that they might have been... I think he might have had some copyright claims, but he gets it by Konami, too. But,
I think that is true. Yeah. There you go.
All right, next question, then.
Was it me or you?
I'll do it, whatever.
All
right. This is from George. My name is Jordan. I've recently gotten back into both manga and anime after having a rather large slump between the two. Because of this slump, I've been very inconsistent on my listening of WWMR. I know I'm sorry, but I actually have gone back and tried to listen to the episodes that I missed, and it's usually always worth it because you guys are really great to listen to. My question is one that I really hope you answer because I've been thinking about it for a while.
He's like, I hope you answer it before the end of March.
This is a very, very thorough question, and it's actually related to a question that we kind of answered earlier.
Okay.
But, it's a different variation on it. A lot of people refer to the big three in Weekly Shonen Jump as Bleach, Naruto, and One Piece. Though since Naruto has ended, a lot of people have been talking about what will replace it in the big three. However, the moniker of the big three was originally created for those three specific series due to the time frame in which they were created, their genre, and how popular they became. So my question is this. Do you feel that the big three idea should be retired at this point, since one of the series has now ended and another is ending? Or do you feel that the name has just become too ingrained in Weekly Shonen Jump's identity and manga culture in general to ever really be able to go away, even when the series that originated the term eventually do pass on. Do you have an answer to this before I go into rant, Chris?
I will just say that I feel the term Big Three, because you actually did a very thorough answer of this in your Bleach Downfall video, where you talked about how the Big Three isn't really a thing anymore, especially nowadays.
Well, it was never a thing, for one thing.
It's a thing that we, in America, put in.
Western fans recognized that One Piece and Naruto and Bleach were really popular. Anime and manga were very popular at the time. And so they're like, oh, these are the three most popular. Oh, they're the Big Three. No one in Wicked Shonen Jump is like, these are the Big Three. No one in Japan is like, these are the Big Three.
Maybe the Big One. They're like, holy shit, One Piece makes a lot of fucking money.
One Piece fucking dwarfs Naruto and Bleach over there. Even at the end, One Piece was way more popular than Naruto, even though Kishimoto and Oda have recognized each other as, you know, rivals and friends and stuff. One Piece was always way ahead. Well, I mean, not always, but usually way ahead.
Especially, most of the time where we're paying attention to manga sales, you know, that was after Naruto was pretty much done its peak, and at that point, Naruto, or One Piece, just started outpacing in sales. In regards to it having anything like that now, again, it's still One Piece sells more than any other manga, and there's not really a consistent grouping that could be like, oh, well, those are the top dogs, because I think right now, I mean, there's a pretty consistent alteration between which are usually the top-ranked manga of each week, between One Piece, Shokugeki no Soma, My Hero Academia, Assassination Classroom.
Actually, Assassination Classroom is probably the second most popular title in Shonen Jump right now.
Yeah.
It's really consistently in the top five. If you look at the promotional materials and stuff, for example, this is a pretty easy shortcut to determining what's, you know, consistently popular. Because the staff of Shonen Jump is very aware of this stuff, and they reflect it in their promotion of stuff. So, you know, week to week, you know, they will put the most popular series in Shonen Jump further towards the front. That's what people refer to as the Shonen Jump rankings, basically. So they'll put the stuff that is more popular at the time further towards the front, and the less popular stuff further towards the back, and distribute color pages and you know, cover spreads to the most popular series as well. But occasionally they'll also do special covers on the magazine that feature, you know, a character from all of their series they're running at the time. However, they distribute the size and position of these characters depending on their popularity. So, for example, Luffy will always have a prominent position. If there's a difference in size between the characters, he's always bigger than the others because he's in the foreground or something like that.
You could even see it this week in the U.S. Shonen Jump, because I imagine some of these characters are probably taken right from that. And who is the most prominent character displayed? It's Luffy. He's the guy front and center.
And Koro-sensei was the second most prominent character and has been in a lot of the stuff that they've done like that in the past year or so. You know, obviously they took him out because Assassination Classroom does not run in Shonen Jump Online. So, right now, Assassination Classroom, if you're going to say Big Three purely in terms of where the most popular series in Shonen Jump, Assassination Classroom is one of them. However, as Jordan points out in this, it's primarily termed the Big Three because they're very similar, not just in popularity, but also time that they came out, and also genre. And Assassination Classroom, of course, came out far after One Piece, and is a very different series from One Piece.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's a term that people need to kind of get past, because it seems to really limit how people interpret what's popular right now. It's like, oh, what's in the Big Three? Is Toriko in the Big Three right now? Well, not really. I mean, Toriko's dropped off in popularity. Bleach has dropped off in popularity. You know, it's a term that really limits the way that people look at manga. And for a long time, when Bleach was tapering off in popularity, people still said, oh, it's in the Big Three, it's just the least popular of the Big Three. When, you know, you're overlooking other series that were very popular at the time. Toriko was surpassing Bleach in popularity at a time, and, you know, Toriko was becoming more prominently featured in the promotions for the magazine and stuff. It's a limiting term because whatever you put in there, people seem to interpret it as like a permanent fixture, despite the fact that stuff goes up and down in popularity all the time. So I think that it's kind of a pointless moniker to give to something. It's just a shorthand for what's popular in Shonen Jump right now.
Yeah. So in a way, I often hear it nowadays if people refer to Big Three, referring to Shonen Jump. I often hear it as like people saying One Piece, Fairy Tail, and I can't remember if it's Shingeki no Kyojin or something else, but usually there's some other third series they throw in there, and it's like, well, Fairy Tail's not even a Jump series, so the term, I guess, is just used by Westerners to try to pick out what are the most popular series, but in terms of looking at actual Jump and trying to say what are the most popular, I think it's better just to look at them as a per-week basis. It's why I kind of like the way U.S. Jump works, because I feel like One Piece isn't always guaranteed to be the front issue of the magazine, just because I don't think it has that same like kind of cultural expectation to always be voted mm-hmm. in the top group.
Yeah. And additionally, you know, like if you look at other stuff, like do people use terms like, oh, the Big Three when it comes to like fucking television shows that are popular? No.
No, there's too many. There's so much going on.
What's the Big Three, you know, sitcoms right now? There's a lot of really popular sitcoms right now.
And Big Bang Theory. Well, it's actually really popular.
It's really popular. It's like, okay, what are some sitcoms that a lot of people really like? Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Modern Family, Parks and Rec was really big, 30 Rock was really big, you know, and, you know, sometimes people refer to, like, oh, you know, the block that a certain, you know, channel has. Well, that's actually something they can consistently be measured, because it's like, you know, 4 series in 2 hours on one channel, you know, and that, again, stuff rotates out as stuff is moved around, as stuff is canceled, and new stuff is brought in, and so on and so forth. No one says these are the 3 TV shows, regardless of how, you know, one of them fluctuates in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's a stupid term. I've always thought it's stupid because it's misleading.
There you go. Boosh, covered it quite nicely. Move on here to a question from Michael Solseth. He is referring to, this is back in March, so he's referring to the point where Seven Deadly Sins introduced power levels. And, you know, it's now not everyone enjoys the idea of power levels, but they've been around for a long time, and there's a whole TV Tropes article dedicated to how the idea of power levels are seen as a measure to rank and measure mm-hmm. characters. What do you think about the concept of power levels, and what mangas or other forms of media have you seen it properly utilized?
He goes on
to mention Dragon Ball Z.
Right, because power levels, you know, that's something that people really closely associate with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're actually going to use like measurable stuff, you know, put a number on it, I think that you really limit yourself with it. Because eventually, as the series goes on, they're just going to get incredibly large and they're going to become meaningless. We see this with Toriko nowadays. And also, this is pretty much the reason why in Dragon Ball Z, scouters stopped being a thing. You know, the power was too strong and it was immeasurable and they exploded and stuff. You know, it's something that I think that if you use in vague terms to define stuff, you know, like, for example, you maybe, like, have a set of tiers, not necessarily tiers, but, like, you... Okay, character A is our main character. Character B is his rival. And at the beginning of the series, character B is so powerful that character A feels his presence and is dwarfed by his aura. Later on, they have a fight, and character B is surprised by how much character A has grown because he senses his aura or something like that. Or character C is introduced as a big villain in an arc, and character B is dwarfed by his aura to give us an idea of how powerful this guy is and stuff like that. If you use vague terms, it works out pretty well. You can do that stuff with, for example, mana in Black Clover, or Spirit Pressure in Bleach, or Chakra in Naruto, or something like that. These are all
Trion in fucking World Trigger. Basically, any battle manga is going to have some, usually have some form of power gauge that exists that gets stronger or maybe doesn't get stronger.
Right, and you know, we've seen these things represented in those series, but never had a specific number set to them because it's limiting, and also it de-emphasizes other aspects of battle. You know, getting stronger through training, or, you know, being a superior fighter in terms of techniques and stuff. It's kind of silly to put a number on it just for the sake of it. And also, if you do that thing, then, you know, it negates all the nerdy arguments you can have about who would win a fight, Wolverine or Spider-Man. So, there you go.
Well, that's a big part of it, too, in the fact that you damage your series more, I think, by adding those numbers, because you do put a strict definition on who is stronger. If you say, an example would be, what was it called? Fuck. There was a power level gauge in One Piece during the CP9 arc, and I forget what the term for it. But basically, anyone who punched Fukuru, he would gauge their level. I forget what it was called. But he used it to rank the different members of the CP9. And that was fine because it kind of showed a tier hierarchy for how the CP9 worked and added some interest because you're like, oh, hey, Lucci is twice as strong as the second highest member of their group. And there's such a small divide between Jayabura and Kaku. You know, it was kind of a way to add intrigue to it. And then it was just briefly used to show Franky and then I believe maybe something. It was never shown to get an exact number, but I think Lucci used it to say something about Luffy's strength. But you never had Sanji and Zoro specifically compared. So you can leave that argument of who would win the fight between Sanji and Zoro to the fans. Let them do that. That's part of their fun and their aspect of things. Let them
enjoy
that.
It takes away from these two characters or rivals that never come to blows.
Yeah, you don't need to do anything like that. And there's different ways to kind of grade scale between characters in your series. I mean, again, I'll use One Piece as an example. Just in our recent arc at Dressrosa, we had a big group of villains, but there was a clear hierarchy to it. We had officers, your Lao Ji, your Giola, your, what was his name, Gladius. Those were your officers. And then we had the seated generals, the lieutenants, I forget what their name was, the hearts, whatever, you know, with Pika and Treble and that stuff. And then on top we had Doflamingo. That's a way without specifically putting numbers to things to be like, okay, this person's stronger than this person, stronger than this person. And then you can kind of gauge the fights from there.
And also, you know, when numbers were used to illustrate, like, how dangerous someone was in One Piece, it was, you know, their bounty. It was not their specific power. It was their notoriety. It was their acts against the government. And
that's a big thing. There are somewhat of power levels in One Piece in the terms of bounties, but bounties aren't 100% reflective. In a way, they kind of are. If you look at most of the Straw Hats, they do tend to filter out where those Straw Hats kind of rank in strength, you know. Luffy's at the top, then Zoro comes right after. I think Sanji might right be behind, or Robin might be a little bit above him.
Well, but also when you consider it, though, a lot of even those skills are, you know, misrepresentative because Chopper is considered a pet.
That's the thing.
Robin's bounty is so high because
she was a child and she has the Palmograph powers. It's all relative to how it works in the world. It's kind of a best of both worlds. It's a way to kind of be like, these characters are kind of in this scale. Because, you know, like Nami had a 32 million berry bounty, something like that. You're like, okay, that's in the lower scale of the crew, which is kind of where she's always been represented. But it's not to the point where I'm like, well, Zoro's bounty is, 120 million, while, you know, fucking Sanji's is only, I think, 72 million. So clearly Zoro's much better than Sanji.
Right.
It's
a shorthand reflection of accomplishment rather than a reflection of their power. It's sort of like how in Naruto, Shikamaru was the only one to pass the Chunin exam. Mm-hmm. It didn't mean that he was stronger than Naruto or Sasuke or Neji or anyone. It was just that it was a demonstration that out of all of the people who took part in that exam, he was the one who demonstrated the best qualities of a ninja in terms of how he approached the situations and tactics and stuff like that. So, you know, there you go.
And then you just generally, when you ever put actual numbers to things, which is, it's part of the reason why I just lost all interest in Seven Deadly Sins, when you put numbers to things, you make things so boring because then for one character to go up against someone else and we know their power levels and you're like, well, this person's lower, so they should lose. You're essentially taking the drama out of things because if the other character gets more powerful, you know, it's like, well, why even bother with the fucking power level? Why not just keep it a mystery so the tension's there? But it's almost like if you were going to play then like a game of tabletop, but you took all the special abilities out of everyone. You just put math to them. You're just, you know, this character has higher attack than this one, so he should win. It's just, it's boring in that way. So I'm not a fan of power levels. The more concrete they are and the larger the numbers get, the more they lose any effect. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure where we are now.
We're actually in April.
Okay, so...
Do you want me to just do it?
Is it the one from Tropical Blitz?
No. You might have gone up a little...
Okay, I've got the one from Jordan, which I read last.
I have one here from Jords.
Yeah, we did that one.
Did we?
Yeah. One about the big three and stuff.
Okay. So I didn't mark it off.
I skipped the one about questions about parallels, basically. Yeah. Let's see.
We're up into May. Because I told you guys, we cruise along.
Yeah. Okay. There is actually a question for you about your feelings on Food Wars, I guess, but we talked about that
off. Yeah, I think at the time we addressed it, actually.
Okay. Okay. Question from Mike Layton. Hey, Chris and Nick, still loving the show and all the fun to be had in the podcasts. I'm not sure when you'll get to doing another Q&A section. Well, here you go. But I hope this is a fun one. A lot of times in manga, we tend to see the doubting douchebag, a.k.a. some of the dickish members of Soma's school, the wizards who look down on Asa for being a, quote, peasant with no magical powers, and so on. Do either of you like these types of characters as one-off characters, long-lasting side characters, or do you wish manga would be rid of these characters? I find them irritating at points, although handled in comedic ways like Zonge from Toriko, it can be hilarious, when handled correctly. He can doubt the characters and build himself up as this great guy, but we're always reminded that he's the biggest joke in the entire series, even with his few accomplishments. That actually kind of answers the question for me in a certain way. I think that a character who purely exists in terms of, look at that guy, there's no way he can possibly win, he's useless, and so on and so forth, if that is their only defining trait, they had better only show up once. And characters like them had better never show up again. I think that having a character that is doubtful and dismissive and, you know, looks down on people for that type of behavior can be interesting if there is more to their character than just that. If they're built up as a villain to be overcome and we're given an explanation for why they feel like that way. Like with Neji from Naruto, for example. You can do stuff like that. If you have a character that is purely then no. You get one, that's it. Never again.
So there you go. You just say you don't want Glasses Douche showing up all the time just being Glasses Douche. Because he changed.
He changed, exactly. So I've lined up on him a little bit because, like, okay, there was a point to your character beyond this, and, you know, he's got pride. He had pride as the leader of that, you know, section of the Golden Dawn, and now he respects Asta and Noel and, you know, and all of them and stuff. And then, right as soon as that happens, we get introduced to a bunch of more characters who are like, but then it turns out, oh, they're royals, and they're related to Noel, so they'll probably serve a higher purpose than just looking down on Asta and being douchebags to him. I will endure this for now.
I think the best way, and it kind of goes to show it with Glasses Douche, the best way to handle it is to have those characters change and then become a part of almost the cast, because the characters I start to think of would be the Haha Brothers in iShield 21. They start out as these douchey, goofy characters who shit all over Senna, didn't like him, were constantly kind of antagonizing him, and then once their threat was immediately kind of resolved, they just became these butt monkeys in the series. They're the ones constantly at the bad ends of things, until eventually it's like, oh, they actually find that they like football and they can find a purpose in their life in playing. And they've grown. And now these are interesting characters. I feel like when you have this, you know, overbearing douchebag who's going to look over the main hero and laugh at them the whole time, you only have two real options with it. You can have that character get beat and go on their way and we never see them again, which was kind of like, okay, you served your purpose and now you're done. You weren't very interesting. Or you have them grow when they change from it. That usually tends to make for a more interesting character overall, so I prefer that method. Move on along here. I clicked out of it, so give me just a sec to open it back up. This one, once again, from Jonah Bacon Lefkowitz, who I don't know if I've told you, Nick, is part of the One Piece forum.
Yeah, okay. Read the fucking question.
I have a question. If you guys could have a pirate crew filled with characters from each manga you have in the recap, not counting the Straw Hats, who would they be? So basically,
At least you're limiting us to just the series you covered in the recap. Thank you.
Yes. So... series of recap, you gotta build somewhat of a crew around it.
He also gives an example, which I like, yeah.
He goes into a list of his, you know, he has like Osama was the captain, Zebra's the first rate, Urahara's the navigator. I'm not going to go into as much depth just because I don't think I could keep that all straight. But I will give you a couple of them. If I need a captain for the crew, I'm going to take... I think I would take... Alright, let me move along from captain. Let me go to someone I know. I'm going to take Uryu for sniper. I feel like that'd be kind of cool. You know, classic bow and arrow. I feel like he'd be... We need a straight man in this group. I feel like he's good there. Cook, I'm going to put... I'm going to put Soma. You know, it's a little traditional, but I think he'd be fun there. I was almost going to make him captain, so it's kind of a big step down for him. But, you know, you fucking deal with the kid. Can't get what you want. Actually, you know what? I'm going to change this. I've got a new theme for my crew. We're the snobby douchehead crew. Nenomiya is now our captain. Still keeping Uryu as our sniper. Our cook is going to be either Erina or, what was the other one? Alice? Because they're both kind of like snotty kind of characters.
You might want to go for Shinomiya.
Shinomiya. Oh, that's the one from the restaurant.
The glasses guy. That's
so basically, it's just like a fucking...
There's you guys, most of which wear
glasses. Nenomiya wear glasses.
So we gotta have glasses douche in there.
Yeah, glasses douche could be our fucking navigator, because who the fuck knows? Well, yeah, whatever. what other series do we have in Jump? Ida. Ida can be our helmsman. I don't think there's anyone in Nisekoi's really like that, so fuck it, we'll just put Chitoge in, because we need some chicks in this crew, and she'll be the helmsman, because she's ridiculously strong. And, is there anyone in Toriko really like that? I don't think there's really, like, a glasses jerk in that. Yeah, fuck it, it's a zebra's in there. And I just put him in a suit and glasses. And he just screams at people. And he's our musician, I guess. He sings us ballads of angry people.
I've got a couple of ideas, but one of them is easier for me to expound on, so I'll focus on that one. But my one of my ideas was to have like Gray as the first mate, and have not sure who he would work well with. Maybe Naruto as the captain. Maybe Soma's not over the top enough for him to bounce off of Gray well enough. But yeah, okay. But here is my idea for a full crew. It is underutilized female characters. So we've got Erina as the captain.
Okay.
We've got Sugumi as the sniper from Nisekoi. We've got Noelle, which he hasn't really had a chance to do anything yet, so that's probably not fair, but we'll have her in there. Lucy.
What is she going to do? Gotta give her a position, Nick. Right now, she's wandering the ship. She's doing anything. She's cleaning. She's spilling poop on the deck and cleaning poop off the deck because she hears that's a term and doesn't realize it's just an expression.
She can be the shipwright because she actually has water control, so that would be really very useful.
There you go.
We're going to have Lucy. She will be our navigator because she, you know, maps out.
She's Nami, basically.
She's basically Nami. In fact, we'll just have her wear Nami's outfits.
Yeah, we'll just put her in a bikini and jeans and
boom. Everyone will just be like, when did Nami go blonde? They're like, that's Lucy. Does she have a tattoo on her arm? Well, it's on her hand. Well, she's Nami.
It's close enough.
No, she's not. Does she have really big tits? Yeah. What are her powers? I don't fucking know. She's Nami.
Something magical, kind of. All right, done.
There's not too many underutilized female characters in My Hero Academia. I can't exactly say Uraraka, so I'll go with the Invisible Girl, whose name I forget. well, let's see. I forgot in what series that I've actually used at this point. You still have
Bleach.
Well, Rukia, she can be fucking no.
She could be
the
an artist. Yeah,
she could be the musician. Her say you sing good.
you need
I listen to her character image songs.
You don't have any before World Trigger yet, but there's not really a whole lot of underutilized female characters there beyond maybe, like, the managers. I guess Chica in her own way. She hasn't, but you already used Sniper. Well, actually, she can't shoot people.
She can't shoot people, so she'd be perfect. She can't be sniper. She'll be the doctor. Why not?
Yeah, she likes to fucking help people, I'm sure. Fucking nailed it. You clutch.
And everyone just be like, why the fuck is Arianna our captain instead of our cook? Good God. Who is cooking these shields?
She can't lead us. And we're all hungry. She just yells at us and makes us lick her feet.
We can have...
I'm trying to think, is there any other series that we haven't...
I haven't done Toriko.
I mean, Rin can be Rin, there. There you go, cook. Rin,
we'll bump Chica from... Actually, let's move some stuff around.
We're going to reorganize things.
We're going to reorganize things. We're going to move Chica from cook... And Noelle from Sniper, have Chica be Sniper, have Noelle be Captain, and have Arianna be Cook.
Wait, who's Captain now?
Noelle.
Wow, that is a fucking promotion for her.
As a fucking, yeah. She gained self-confidence.
She's like, you didn't even want me in your group initially. I'm like, well, now you're leading us. You don't really have many admirable traits in a leader, but good luck.
No, wait, Noelle is the shipwright. What did I say? Who did I say was the sniper?
Tsugumi.
Tsugumi was the sniper. Fuck. She's the swordsman now.
Is there a captain on this crew?
Yeah, it's...
Fuck it, Rebecca, you can add one piece in there, just can't be a straw hat. Boom, Rebecca, done.
Okay, yeah, she's the pirate now. Why not?
Yeah, she's the princess pirate. Fuck it, Vivi. She has her own Jolly Roger. You just use that. You just repurpose it.
No. Alright. So she'd just be like, fuck it, Rebecca. Your kidney doesn't actually need you. Your granddad seems healthy.
Yeah, he's probably gonna live another 1,000 years. Next year, fucking got a aunt. She can handle shit. I'm sure she can still get some kids out there to keep the lineage going.
Honestly, if we really have to be serious about it, I'm sure Riku could be a captain.
Oh, yeah, she could definitely handle it. In fact, I think she might even be the most fitting for it. Didn't we make her, like, musician, something stupid?
Yeah, it's just, like, ran out of position. So it is, honestly, probably Bear Captain Rebecca.
There you go.
Rebecca can be the swordsman. Well, no, Sugumi's the swordsman, and I have no idea what else she could actually be good at that has been taken already. Did I move someone off of Doctor? I'm sure Sugumi could be a doctor.
I was so lost. Really
she knows anatomy.
Really should have had like a list that I could write down.
I really should have been writing this down this whole time.
I'm so confused. Like, you see this crew and they're just like, why are all of us in the...
No one told me what my position is.
Four of us are doctors.
Settle amongst yourselves.
None of us are cooks. It's just a ship of women drowning in the ocean.
She's a cook. I said that.
It's fucking like
she was killed in the power struggle because she doesn't have any powers or common.
As Chica pops in, you said I was the cook. No, I think you're the captain. That's why there's a mutiny, because you sold like
captain,
six people
captain,
to the captain.
What should we do next? B-face.
Yeah. I don't celebrate my birthday.
This is what happens when you have underutilized female characters. None of them know what to do with important character roles. Oh, this was a blast. Okay, next question.
Oh, we need more like that.
I think that this question is actually just a suggestion. It's the one about UQ Holder and Negima and Air Gear, which is just...
It's basically a question of, like, and this is from GG, who basically wants to say, like, would we do Negima and Air Gear because he really wants to hear our opinions on it. Particularly you, because I guess you've mentioned Negima before, and I don't remember if it was positive or not, but he wanted to know if we'd ever get to it.
Our next question then comes from Abdul. Well,
we didn't answer it. Here's the thing. Yes, both of them are possibilities. Both of them are going to be harder to do. Because, guys, I've learned something from recommending Shaman King. Holy fuck, I should not take one of those recommendations without expecting it to take at least a month for me to get through it. Because I've been trying, like, any amount of free time I've had, if I'm not, like, in a blinding headache, I'm trying to read through Shaman King, and I thought I was blazing through that series.
And then you listen and it's just like, oh.
I'm like, holy shit, I'm not even halfway through this series yet.
Yeah. I'm not at that point either. I mean, just, God. It would help if Shaman King were fun to read. Spoilers! Okay.
Is this a preview to, one, the fact we probably won't have Shaman King for tomorrow, and two, the fact that you don't like Shaman King?
Well, honestly, that might work out, because then we would have something to do next week. It might work out better for everyone if we just did that.
Okay, it would really help me. I'm not trying to delay it, because I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm not reading it. I'm trying to get through it. It is just, holy fuck, it is so long. I forgot how long it is to read a Battle Shonen series. Man.
Honestly, I think that's probably a good plan.
All right, we'll do that then. You heard it here first.
But yeah, nothing is off the table except, like, fucking
outright pornography or anything we can't get our hands on.
Or, like, you know, horrible things, basically. I'm just going to say that. Yeah, I'm going to deliberately use the term horrible things.
It's like your catch-all for...
Yeah, like, if I say it's like, we're not going to do that, I was like, no, I can't say that a horrible thing.
Yeah, we can't do any of the fairy tale spin-offs, guys. They're horrible things.
Horrible things.
They shouldn't be in this world.
So anyway, our question from Abdul Padella is, what are your hopes for where a particular series on your podcast will go? For me, on World Trigger, I'm really hoping for, after the invasion, a neighbor to approach border. A merchant looking for more trade opportunities and trying to build her friendly relationship with a potential market's defense. He offers this to Border, that they lend him a squad or two for caravan duty for his trade tips to protect against pirates for a duration of a year, and in return the agents who travel in the neighbor world will gain a valuable information, and the merchant also states that he will allow the squad that goes to keep the triggers he will give them. I want this in particular because, obviously, I want Osama and Co. to be the agents of the go, and I want the merchant to provide Osama with a trigger that suits him. I think it's something along the lines of a trigger that has a poisoning effect, since we haven't really seen one of those yet, and the arc with the merchant can be about learning how to use that trigger, with a pirate attack on the end.
This Holy shit, up. Pirates!
With a pirate attack on the end to showcase Osama and Company's new talents. Also, I hope that it expands the story a little, and that neighbors soon become side characters with Luda focus, well, neighbors besides Yuma. That's actually a really good idea. I do like the idea of getting to know more neighbors other than just, you know, the monstrous ones and those from Afto Kator and Yuma. I like
so the
that.
Question is that what are our basically long
term
predictions?
Do we have any particular hopes for where a series on the podcast is going to go? I hope that Toriko will focus on characters that matter.
I just hope Toriko focuses on characters as opposed to, like, hey, look, we're going to battle in a seesaw coliseum.
You guys care about 1mm Yuta, right?
I kind of did until you fucking put him on a giant seesaw and had him dump the other chef into a fucking pit of death. We'll save that for tomorrow, but holy fuck, that was dumb.
Maybe I should actually read Toriko this week. Oh, God. I've got just a bad habit now of, like, it was like, what happened in Toriko?
It's not a bad story in Yuta. I don't want to get into too much of, like, you know, what we're going to be doing tomorrow. It's not a bad story for Yuta. It's just so much is taken out of it from the fact that, like, and they're battling on a seesaw coliseum! And oh my god, Yuta has used his power to tip the seesaw and dump the other chef into the death fire! And you're like, well, you've made his story of pain and sacrifice a lot less compelling after he murdered his opponent.
Guess that means I win, bitch!
I didn't care for his opponent. They're all kind of boring. They're not monsters. They're but like, you straight up murdered him.
They're like, Yuta, I can't believe you killed that guy. I don't give 1mm a fuck.
Answer for that then? Somewhere where a series would go. I would love to see My Hero Academia at this point kind of move into an arc that's about like a team up, and not necessarily be a villain team up, although it'd be kind of cool, but I'd like to see the heroes working together to an actual superhero-esque goal, which I feel like we're kind of getting built up with, you know, Ida, Deku, and Todoroki right now. Like, we're kind of seeing those guys work well together. So I'd like to see those, like, guys or just a group of characters in My Hero Academia, like, have to go up against some kind of threat in a situation that isn't just, like, a school test or something like that.
I have a more unrealistic hope.
Okay.
That hope is we see more Naruto spinoff guidance and stuff about the next generation of kids. I mean, we've got the Bolt movie coming out, but I would like to see, you know, more stuff like the, you know, the Gaiden basically about Sarada, and, you know, learn more about the characters, you know, how their kids have turned out and stuff, because what we have gotten so far is actually really good. I mean, as much as, you know, I brag on Chocho for being annoying, almost every other character that, you know, has shown up has been good. Sarada was a really great protagonist for her short run. Mitsuki, I think is his name, the pale kid that hung out with Bolt that we didn't know who their parents were. Rumors are that he's Orochimaru's kid or something. He's actually pretty entertaining. Bolt, we are obviously going to get to know him better. There was actually a special that we haven't gotten in like an official Jump yet that focused on Bolt and Himawari, where basically it turns out that if there is someone who has Hyuga powers and, you know, Kyuubi influence, which makes them go berserk, they turn out to be really fucking scary. I'll say no more. So I would like to see more stuff like that. You know, just little snippets, you know, maybe a little 10-chapter miniseries about, you know, focusing on, I don't know, like Shikadai or, you know, Ino and Sai's kid or something like that. Because we saw a fucking whole ton of them, and we're not going to get too much about them, I think, individually in the Bolt movie. Probably it's just going to be about, you know, Konohamaru's team, which is Bolt, Sarada, and Mitsuki, and that's probably going to be the main focus.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of the others get their spotlight.
And maybe more towards what he gave in his example, like, if I were to, like, kind of want to say what I want to see with the next One Piece, I'd like a short arc that focuses on what Sanji's group is doing, you know, the twirly hat pirates. And I'd like it to be, like, you know, we're kind of building this idea that it's, like, they're up against some group that has an affiliation with Kaido. So I'd like it to be, like, this is one of his, like, subdivision crews or whatever. Kind of like how, like, Whitebeard had different, you know, commanding officers. And to give, like, a, you know, not a crazy long, maybe, like, an 8-month arc about Sanji's crew encountering them, a small plot involved in, like, you know, a relatively, you know, interesting island, but nothing, you know, have to go, you don't have to make a Skypiea or anything like that, or Water 7, just a cool environment, give these guys something to do to make up for the fact they haven't been doing a whole lot in the past year, and, like, you know, give them all fights, and a chance for Sanji to show off, you know, why, you know, he's this secondary commander of the crew at the moment.
Mm-hmm. He's basically, like, third in command, it seems, for the whole crew at this point.
Yeah.
All right. What's next?
I think I was up here. I have one up. I don't know if you had one.
I'm pretty sure it's your turn.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in July now, guys. So we fucking did it.
Yay.
So we'll probably actually stop soon. So we're
well, we've been going for a couple of hours, more importantly.
Yeah, we'll probably be ending this very soon. But this is one from Sig, which I'm glad you gave me your, once again, another Odar arc character. But I'm glad you did that, because I was not going to have fun trying to pronounce your actual name. There are, it looks like, 3 periods above an A, which I don't even know how that's fucking pronounced.
That's two periods.
It's followed by an I, so that was what confused me. He says, since you've grown quite fond of My Hero Academia, and you loved the author's previous work, Barrage, my question is, if you could, would you bring back Barrage as an ongoing series at the cost of My Hero Academia? That is a tough one. It reminds me of a hypothetical I gave to my brother, which was like, you take...
Who would you save? Me with no legs or the top?
No, slightly worse. I gave him the hypothetical. Well, more recently, I gave him the hypothetical of, would you go back in time and let Conan O'Brien keep the Today Show or stop 9/11? But I also gave one. It was like, you can go back and give Liam Neeson an Oscar. Like, he gets an Oscar for Schindler's List, but 12 Years a Slave loses all of its accolades. Like, just this idea of, would you do it for Liam? But it is, it's
you'd be a horrible racist.
Yeah, you're a monster. But Liam Neeson really should have an Oscar, let's be fair. Would I get My Hero Academia back, or get rid of it to bring back Barrage? No. If only because now that I see My Hero Academia in action, I feel it serves a better niche. It fits a better spot in Shonen Jump overall. We don't have a superhero series. And what was interesting about Barrage at that time is still all present in My Hero Academia. It still has amazing art, still has great character motivation. But because of the fact that now it has maybe a world that better fits the style of Horikoshi's work, powers that don't have to be as confined. You can kind of get very imaginative with it. And there's no overlap. As I said, there's no superhero series, but there are other sci-fi themed series going on right now. I think it's better just to have My Hero Academia as it is.
I think that My Hero Academia is a more fully realized series than Barrage was. Mm-hmm. We both love Barrage, but I do admit that it had some flaws. I think that the plot hook wasn't good enough, because really, the goal in that series that, you know, as we found out, he actually was Barrage, the plot was just, he's going to go around and basically experience the world so he can live up to being a good king. That was it. There was no, I am going to definitely accomplish this in the future. With Deku, we know his goal is to become a great hero. And so he is going somewhere to learn about that, and he's encountering different trials. We know the goal of almost every important character in the series because they're all at this school and they're all doing this thing as something very passionate. Different people have different reasons, but they're very easy to come across. Some of them want fame, some of them want fortune. Bakugo basically wants to do it because he just wants to prove he's the best, and so on and so forth. Much simpler, character motivations to get behind, and we understand, basically from chapter one, what we are getting ourselves into. And so less time has to be wasted on explaining stuff, and we can just get into the action and explore character stuff. Barrage was at its best when it was just like, you know, this is, you know, the explanation behind this character, this is how you connect to them, and so on and so forth. And it didn't have as much time for that. Really, when you get down to it, we only really learned about two of the characters to a very deep degree. Even his bodyguard, we didn't know that much about. So, you know, there you go. I mean, I could pick a brand character that we've learned anything about, and you'd be able to tell me a whole lot about them. Like, you know, why do you care about Uraraka? You know, why do you care about Todoroki? Why do you care about Ida? It's only characters that we have barely been introduced to, you know, like Suyu, or the guy who pulls, you know, sticky balls out of his head and stuff, where it's just like, well, even then, it's like, you know, I know who they are, you know, I know what they look like, I can identify them in the crowd, and I know what their character is, except for the fact, you know, what's their dramatic hook. I just don't know yet that yet, but a whole lot more to connect to and stuff. It's a more complete world as well, so.
Yes.
So yeah, I would not. If I could have both, I would definitely take that option, but obviously that's not realistic.
Well, I don't want both just because I saw what happened with Hero when he was doing two series at once. Actually, I think he was doing three series at once at one point, so yeah, no.
Woo!
He's like, I can draw tits all over the place! Move his hair!
Now we know now we've got our Hero Mashima impression. We've got to remember that for tomorrow. Okay. All right, our next question comes from Milo Stilitz. Hey, guys, just want to ask a couple of questions. I don't know if you answer them. We do. First of all... Since One Piece is
now
off...
Now that you pay us!
Shut up. Now that we make extra time to do it... First of all, since One Piece is off... well, it was. I was wondering, if you could have a Straw Hat... interact with each of the Stardust Crusaders from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, who would you want to see meet up with who?
Is this question not prompted with Chris only?
Yeah, really.
Say it's any character from, or each character from One Piece meeting up with somebody from Stardust Crusaders.
Well, it says actually if you could have a Straw Hat interact with each of the Stardust Crusaders, who would you want to meet? Yeah, I guess that is each Straw Hat, each Stardust Crusader.
Well, there's not a comparable jump to jump. First and foremost, Chopper and Iggy have to, because Iggy's a dog and he can't talk otherwise. And so it's going to be a really boring conversation if he shows up with, like, fucking Frankie. it's just...
I'm pretty sure Frankie would just be like, oh, puppy!
This dog fucking makes sand! Woo! Potty! Spraying soda everywhere. I would say, let's put Zoro and Jotaro, because those are the two big badasses. I think they just have, like, a cool kind of stare-down thing. Polnareff with Nami. I was trying to think if there's anyone in the crew or the Stardust Crusader group that seemed to have any sort of thing with women, because I was like, is there any kind of gimmick you can throw in there? But I don't really think there was. I guess Joseph maybe kind of did. But I kind of want him with Frankie. Because I just want to see them, like, have, like, a screaming contest or something like that. Basically, I just want Joseph to scream out, holy shit, and oh my god, like he did in the manga, which he did in perfect English because he was from America for a little bit. So it's always funny, and like, all the series, you know, it's like regular text, and it's just clearly text straight from the Japanese volume that they didn't have to change. It's like, holy shit! This poop's trying to attack me! And then, let me see. Abdul with Nami, I feel like that'd be, or Abdul with Nami, or not Nami, Robin. Kind of like the mentor figures of their groups. I feel like that'd be a easy fit. And then, oh, Kakyon. I don't, man, Kakyon didn't have much of a personality. Brooke. I don't know. I don't know who to put there. I think that's the group. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else I'm forgetting. Kakyon, Jotaro, Polnareff, Iggy. I mean, if you want to count that runaway girl who was with him for like two fucking fights, and I'm not. Fucking Chang's out with Sanji. Let's make Sanji a pervert again. A creepy pedophile like he's becoming in the movies. Fuck. He's becoming it in the movies.
Really?
I told you there was that one scene where he talked about how he's like, oh, I can't wait to watch Nami grow into an adult again.
Oh, right. No, that's... Wasn't that in the...
Is in One Piece Zed. World Zed, okay. War Zed. War Zed, whatever the fuck it was. You're like, oh, Sanji, no. No. So yeah, we'll go with that.
Second thing, what are your thoughts on the manga Seraph of the End? I was curious, since the anime adaptation recently finished its first season, and the manga is running an English weekly Shonen Jump.
Well, curiously...
Apparently you weren't actually listening to this show back when we actually read this shitty series.
Curiously, my friend, there are a couple hidden episodes of Weekly Manga Recap, where we do bring up Seraph of the End, and if you listen closely, you might understand a couple clues as to why we stopped reading it. Namely, it was a rather boring series to us. I
gave up after like the third chapter or something like that.
I know it
was really early, and you were just like, oh, I'm just gonna do this. I was like, I'm done. No.
And it is still at that kind of level where I've tried to read it. I just can't get into it. I know some people like it. I think the thing with it for me is it's too much. I feel like there's too much, like almost like yaoi kind of like. That relationship between the two main characters is too much of that, like, we're friends. It's almost like you're taking any of the subtext out of, like, the relationship Yuno and Asta have, where you're just like, we're separated, but we're always going to be friends, and I can't wait to see you again, and, you know, anytime we meet, it's always, like, very emotional and tragic, and you're just like, I just don't care about this, and then the rest of the series is just, I don't know, there's just elements of it that just don't interest me, which is weird. I like, you know, monsters, but the way they do it in this just doesn't work for me. Maybe I just read too many series that feel like it's of the same ilk, you know, your D. Gray Man or series like that, you know, just like a dark gothic world of monsters. I don't know.
And I just think it's shit. I got bored way too quickly. Thought it was all stupid and made no sense. And yep.
Like, I've been trying to read it since then, like, just random chapters, but anytime I get a couple pages into them, I'm just like, my brain turns off, and I just end up flipping through it.
And people now that I've done this are going to be like, oh, another series that Nick gave up on before giving a chance to become good. Oh, how did World Trigger turn out for you?
I'm like, how did E-Robot turn out for us?
Yeah, really? What do you think? Should we call it?
Well, the next question we have here is a four-parter, though some of them are relatively easy to get through.
Okay, you want to finish up on this one, then?
It would basically... Would this get us through... Yeah, this would get us through July, so we'd be basically into August, and then any questions that people would basically send in since we start this will be kind of our next episode.
Okay.
So this one is from Loom Ranmayasha. Who is in the chat?
Thank you for giving us the Rumiko Takahashi thing there. Not Rumiko Takahashi. What was her fucking name? I forget. Maybe it is Rumiko Takahashi. Whatever. Because I think we would have struggled to pronounce the other name.
He said, first question, about a year ago, a group of friends and I compiled a list of what we felt were the best anime manga story arcs we'd ever seen. Ever since, I want to ask this question.
It was Rumiko that.
What do you guys think makes for a really great story arc in a long-running series? What elements do you prefer to be emphasized, be it great action, character development, world building, or you prefer to see it all handled equally? What are your what are some of your favorite story arcs, and what do you think resonated with you after all these years?
Honestly, it all just comes down to payoff, really.
Yeah. That's the big crux of it.
Did this story arc build to and capitalize on that build? Did it come together at the end, really? You can have great fights within the story arc without the story arc being good. You can have a great story arc without the fights in it being very good. It just has to build up and then pay off at the end. I think that, honestly, the latest One Piece arc was a pretty good example of that. There weren't a tremendous number of really good fights in it, but, that build with everyone, finally coming out from under Doflamingo's thumb, cheering on Luffy to beat him after seeing everything that he had done to torture people over something like a 2.5 year long build or something like that, and then seeing it all come crashing down with him being punched through the kingdom he had held under him. There you go. That's pretty awesome. Stuff like, Ojo White Knight's match in Aishio 21. They were the rival for a really long time, and at the end of it, it builds to a great payoff because Senna just beats Shin. So, yeah.
And it depends, what's going to make a great arc is going to depend entirely on the series you're talking about, too. Because the series, a great arc in One Piece and a great arc in Eyeshield 21 were generally great for very different reasons. My favorite arc, to kind of answer your question as to what favorite arcs, my favorite match in all of Eyeshield 21 is always the Ojo Damon match. And that match was great to me because it was these two teams who we followed throughout the series, and there was so much depth and development for both teams. Each team was just as basically as sympathetic as the other, so seeing them both have their turnabouts that made it so compelling. You were kind of hard rooting for both teams, at least I was by the end of it, and it just had such a magnificent payoff with Yukimitsu's sacrifice and his planning, and then that final play. It was just excellent in that regard. But those kind of rivalry relationship dynamics is not the same reason why I'd say, well, that's why Alabasta was such a great arc. I'd say Alabasta was a great arc because it had a ton of world building into it. It had a great scale. It had a fantastic villain. It had a fantastic amount of tension to it. Just the way it was paced with Crocodile's plan seemingly always being one step ahead of our heroes. Just a great kind of dynamic like that. So I think that's kind of how I'd phrase it. There's no real one answer for it. It kind of depends more on the series of what its strengths are, and kind of emphasizing them and continuing to build upon them.
Mm-hmm. Character is very important to those, however. You can't have a good arc without caring about somebody involved in it. So. Yeah.
Would you have any favorite arcs you wanted to throw out?
I mentioned a couple.
Okay, there we go. Part two. What are tropes? What tropes or cliches?
Save Sasuke arc. There you go.
Okay. What are tropes and cliches in the shonen genre that you love?
I'm sorry, it's kind of like, what's stupid about what you like,
I guess just give things that are cool to you. For example, I always like hero groups. I mentioned it earlier with, fucking My Hero Academia, but I always like moments where, the protagonist characters form a group. One of the things I kind of was liking about Shaman King was the fact that they were just like, we have to build these teams. And you're like, who's going to be the other members of these teams? And they're like, this dude we just met. But just the idea of, the characters joining up, becoming a team. And any moment where they have a badass, walking moment or, group shot, One Piece always has that infamous walk to Arlong Park with the overtaken theme, if you've seen the anime. I always get, they're such nothing things, but I always get,
Honestly, one of my favorite cliches is,
Nick's, panty skirt gets caught on the fucking lamppost. You can see her underwear.
Oh, One of my favorites in Shonen Battle is actually having a finishing move that is pretty much consistently used.
Like a spirit gun.
Yeah, you know, learning like variations on something and then actually going back and resorting to your, you know, your bread and butter despite all the stuff you've learned stuff. You know, Goku always goes back to the Kamehameha. Naruto always goes back to some variation of the Sharingan, that type of thing. Not the Sharingan. That's Sasuke. The Rasengan. There you go. You know, sometimes they evolve and stuff, but in general, it's just like a more powered up version of the thing they already use. In general, like Luffy, always basically comes down to him punching a guy in the face. Really, it's just sometimes he punches them a lot more at the end, rapid fire and stuff. You know, Senna uses a variation of the Devil Back Ghost. It just, I don't know, it's something that I find appealing where it's just like, sometimes it's nice to see a fight end the way that you kind of expect it to, you know?
Yeah. Nah, I can definitely take that. Question the third. Much like Dragon Ball and Saint Seiya, Naruto is a franchise that will never truly end, even though the original manga is concluded. Much like those aforementioned series, there will likely always be new media made for it for decades to come. However, that does not necessarily mean it's a bad thing. What do you hope to see to come out of the Naruto franchise in the coming years? And would you be interested in checking out some of its inevitable future sequels, spinoffs, etc.? Would you pretty much answered that quite solidly.
I mean, and, you know,
yes.
in addition to, you know, just the spinoff manga titles and stuff, there's some ideas in the movies that are coming out that I'm also interested in. You know, there's like, they had the Last, which is a fucking stupid name for a movie, I should say. Because it's like, Naruto, the last movie. God damn it! That touched on stuff after the end. Bolt touches on stuff after the end of the series and stuff. And it's like, oh, I'm interested in seeing how this stuff turns out and stuff. So, yeah.
I have a certain extent, or a certain interest to an extent. Eventually, though, I don't want to keep caring about a series. Like,
yeah. I mean,
the fact that there's a new Dragon Ball movie that's like, oh, Frieza's back. And I'm just like, I just don't. I mean, I wasn't a Dragon Ball kid either, but it's just like, I just don't have an interest in this at this point.
Well, and the thing is, I actually have more interest in that stuff, although I haven't seen that. I don't plan on actually seeing that movie or the one that came before it, because it's actually like, oh, they're actually doing something kind of different now, because they're trying to relaunch in a new ongoing story, as opposed to a new guy shows up and they fight him, or a guy from hell is not really dead or comes back and they
fight him. Which is weird, because Goku beat them in hell already. Him and Saw at the same time.
You know, I wonder how it's gonna end. Does Goku gotta go Super Saiyan 8 and punch them in Kamehameha? Yeah,
can't go Super Saiyan 8. He needs to go Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan 8.
Yeah, I looked at that new, like, Super Saiyan transformations, by the way, are fucking weird. He becomes a God Saiyan, and then he absorbs the key from God Saiyan, and then he goes Super Saiyan. What the fuck? It's weird. So, you know, if you do something interesting with your spinoffs and stuff, you can keep my interest going. I'm sure that eventually, though, Kishimoto is going to stop actually coming up with new ideas, and they're just going to do like they did with all the Naruto movies before he started getting more heavily involved, and just be like, they go to a new land and fight a guy there.
Yeah. Oh, look out, it's...
Look, he's got a rainbow shirt. This time he's got a rainbow Rasengan.
Oh my god, if fucking Kaguya comes back, like that's their resurrection F, like Resurrection K, and she's like, I'm back! And I'm still not going to send you to the acid dimension! Like, why are you trying to do your non-threat in the spooky voice? She's like, I just want to let you know I'm not going to one-hit KO you despite the fact I could.
Like, Hidan, like, crawls his way up out from his burial site. He's the villain.
He's like, my back, everybody.
And also, I talk like this now.
Yeah. Wait, I'm the Crypt Keeper.
Actually, I would watch that movie. last question
here. Part 4. When is the next installment of World Trigger to My Heart and Butt going to be read? I want more. Or Mauer. However you pronounce it when it's an AR.
More.
I don't know. I don't want to overdo them. I don't want to, like, make them so frequent that they like, just become constant. I kind of want to give some time between the last one when I do the next one. I have ideas
I think that this one was actually asked of us after we had Annalisa on, too. So, be a little more patient. I could understand if it was before that, but chill. We'll maybe do it eventually, you know.
I don't know, maybe like December or something like that, maybe like during the holiday month. I don't want to like schedule it out or anything like
that. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, because the key to bad smut fiction is quality over quantity.
Guys, you gotta wait for the passion to come in. I don't want to, look, the fastest way to make an artist hate what they're doing is to force them to do it. And I don't want to get to the point.
Yeah. Look at Dragon Ball.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to get to the point where I'm just pushing out smut fix, fucking World Trigger, my comedy smut fix, for another movie or some other tie-in. I feel like my art's being corrupted.
I'm imagining you with horn-rimmed glasses and a scarf and a beret. And
a like a coffee, like a fucking twirly just mustache. I'm writing on a typewriter, but it's still clearly, like, covered with, like, used tissues and fucking, like, smut porn. Like, just also filthy pornos that I've rented.
Your pants are still unzipped, but you're in, like, a shitty coffee shop that has free Wi-Fi.
They're like, sir, could you at least put away your copies of Filthy Backdoor Slut 7? I'm like, no! This is why authors don't create anymore! There's no truth in the art if you make me do this! This used to have integrity! Starbucks used to have integrity! Not for you coming in and writing your pornos, sir! Oh, I see. Well, guess what? My name isn't really Donatello at all. I lied. Nah. I'm going to take this across the street to Blinds to Go, and I'm going to write my porn there. They're like, no, sir, you can't do that here either. Fine. I'm going to be in the changing room at Old Navy.
Also, we don't have free Wi-Fi. So yeah.
Also, we pay. You know, it's Blinds to Go. People don't wait here. It's Blinds to Go. You take them and go. Also, I'm pretty sure Blinds to Go stops being in operation for the last 10 years.
All right, guys.
So I'm actually a ghost of a Blinds to Go cashier. I'm like, whoa, this went in a new direction I didn't see coming.
This is going to make it into my story. Clack. Clack.
And
I don't actually know how to use a typewriter. It's very hard. Clack.
And then the monster came in, stabbed Osamu Kintaro through the heart, and they had ghost sex. Then they came back to life, told him want this to be sad.
Ah, yes. This is totally the ending that War Trigger to my heart and black and backdoor deserved before I made 5 more sequels.
Yeah, before I moved on to my next ship.
World Trigger to my heart and backdoor X in space.
This time, Jason's mom's the killer again.
And also the one who some bangs.
Yeah, he bangs his mom. Well, not his mom, that'd be weird. Also, she died in the last one. Continuity!
So that's it for our first monthly Q&A for Weekly Manga Recap. Thank you for joining us. And if you're listening to us live, you can join us tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on twitch.tv/RelodeC. And keep on sending us questions via email, weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com. And, of course, be sure to keep on checking out all of our past episodes on weeklymangarecap.podbean.com.
Yes. Guys, though, the big thing. I know this week or this time, you know, we worked our way back from essentially like fucking January to this month. But a big crux of this is that we had a lot of questions to go through. For us to continue doing this, we need to make sure that you guys send in questions. You know, this is the show. I know we rambled a lot and we had a lot of fun, but it is a show that is going to be predicated on user-submitted questions. So just make sure that if anything comes into your mind, if you got a question you want to send in to us, just make sure you shoot it in weeklymangarecap@yahoo.com, put question in somewhere in the topic title, and then we get
more content. Q&A or whatever. Yeah,
Q&A. Something lets us know there's a question in it, because we get recommendations as well, and sometimes it's hard to decipher.
It's hard to filter through stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
I do want to point out we have gotten, I think, about 10 questions since we pointed out that we were going to do a Q&A session. That is great, but please do not stop sending stuff in, because we want to be able to keep on having plenty of extra content to give you guys each and every month. Do not stop sending those questions in. Thank you.
Yes. You can send in as many questions as you want. Understand some questions may not get a whole lot of answer to them or anything like that.
Yeah, and if you ask us a question like, which of these characters would you fuck, be prepared for us to either not answer them,
well, be prepared or give you the answer that
you don't, or give you the answer you don't actually want.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wow, I didn't think Chris was going to pull out a list. I'm like, to start with Naruto. You're like, wow, you had this many characters you wanted to bang in Naruto? I think there's like 6 named female characters and age in that series. I'm like, well, he's they're like, all on.
Said anything about female.
Yeah, that's what we were limiting it to. So Gender Bent Kakashi's one. quote-unquote Gender Bent Kakashi. Quote-unquote Gender Bent Tobi.
Chris.
Gender Bent Obito, that's the same person. Oh, I want to bang him with the mask on.
I mean her!
Yeah, I mean her. That's
Chris, these characters did not show up with Gender Bent versions of themselves. I've seen fan art / drawn it myself.
You're forgetting the ninja from the village of the room who has the distinct ninjutsu power of turning people in the opposite gender. They ain't Pear Nick. There was a weird Torko crossover where Pear, which hadn't been actually introduced yet in the series, was given to several members of Torko. They turned into chicks and want to bang them. So, I feel like that kind of covers all the loose ends nicely.
I'm not sure if you're trying to sound like a snob or a pervert.
It's me, like, slowly getting more nervous and trying to, like, like deepen my voice.
You're backing into the hedge behind you as you go.
Yeah, I'm just, like, I'm slowly, like, disconnecting the phone, like, so you can't call the police. Like, well, Japan, legal age of consent is 13, so it's not weird.
It's 14, you monster!
I'm like, well, I don't keep track with all legislation that changes in Japan. but yeah. We'll have a regular episode of Weekly Manga Recap tomorrow with all the RR series.
And next week, I guess, we're going to do freaking Shaman King.
Yes, and as a heads up as well, for those of you who are $5 champion tier patrons, we are going to be doing the Top 10 Manga Badasses podcast soon. Expect that probably to come out maybe like next weekend or something like that, I think. I'm going to be doing a little bit more research this week to get all caught up for that, and then we'll record it and distribute it to you guys.
I'm also trying to figure out some stuff that I can actually have a specific role to chip in, aside from just guy who
shits on my picks. I just want to tease it. I'm super excited about what's going to be September month's podcast, because I had a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's that is something that I am also heavily looking forward to. But I'll give you something that's a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, yeah. This one I think everyone will be able to dig. But just look forward to it, guys. That's gonna do it. Do we need a send off? I feel like, you know, it's almost like a different kind of like, even though it's gonna be under the Weekly Manga Recap, you know, feed and all that, I feel like it needs like a different send off. Like, we, you know, like some kind of catch phrase around questions, like, we answered them, and now we go to sleep or something. I don't know. It wasn't like brilliant, but it was a start.
That's like the zeroth draft.
like the napkin I pulled out to write on already had that written on it. I'm like, oh, it's not bad.
I was trying to staff me. That guy's just like, okay, I need you guys to come up with our sign off theme. I was like, we answer the questions and bye. And
question mark?
You know, but not like that. But, you know, like, good. And Chris is like, looks down at his notes. That's the only thing he has written, and he slowly crumples it up. And eats it.
I slowly put it around 2 pieces of bread and start trying to subtly eat it.